I'm pressing buttons as we talk.
Oh,
good.
My God.
I'm inviting thousands.
Happy Tuesday. You are listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacy live on MiamiMikeRadio.com. And tonight is, it's Tuesday. And I have my special guest with me tonight, Miss Beth Acasello. Did I say it correctly?
No, but that's okay.
How do you say it?
You know how to say it. Acasella.
Oh, Acasella. I don't know. I'm bad. That's why I never call anybody by their name. It's Honey Sweetie Baby because I can't. I always screw up people's names.
Any vowel is okay.
Any vowel, yeah. Pick a vowel. Can I buy a vowel, please? Beth is my guest this evening, and we are going to have some fun tonight because if you think I can talk, meet Beth. we're going to have some fun tonight. I'm just curious if I can get a little bit of feedback from you guys. I have a little air conditioning thingamajiggy that I got going on over here, and I know it's probably a little loud. But I blew a fuse earlier, so I thought it was going to be freezing in here and I was going to be able to shut it off. Mm. But plan B.
Do you hear a hum?
So, do you hear a hum? No. Do you hear it? Does it sound terrible? Yes or no? If it does, I'll shut it off and we'll make do. Because it's more important that you hear us and that, you know, we're comfortable, right?
Yeah.
We'll just sweat our asses off. It's okay. We're good. We're good.
It's all good.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, Beth.
Thank you.
All right. So, I'm excited too. So now, I always say, I tell everybody when we first start the show, who the hell are you?
Who am I?
Yeah. A lot of people don't really know how to answer that question, really, because it's a very complex question, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, who the hell are you, we'll start there. Like, so who are you? Are you married?
Yes.
Okay. How long? Right.
Okay.
And how long are you married?
It's 19 years this September. What year are we in? 19 years. I can't remember. 19 years this September. Mm-hmm.
September what?
September 16th.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I remembered that.
See? Very good.
We have a lot of birthdays in September, and I always screw up my anniversary. So, yeah. 20 years next year, 19 this year, so...
Nice. Mm-hmm. God bless. Mm-hmm. God bless. And I'm sorry. When we were chatting a little bit, but trying to figure out what we wanted to discuss during the show, your husband was sitting there with us, and what he kept saying, like, "What about me? What about me? What about me?"
He might barge through the door any minute.
Okay. Does he know
I didn't give him the address.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
All right. Right. But 999. Never mind. 123 Mockingbird Lane or whatever, right? And so he was saying, and you were breaking his stones, right? Because he was like, I want to come, you need to do a show on me.
Yep.
And you were like, what are you talking about? 3 minutes, we'd be done. We'd be nothing to talk about. So he kept saying how you're married to this one, how did he state himself again? Wonderful man or what? A great husband.
Numero uno something.
I forgot what he said.
The best of the best.
Yeah, it was something that we were just like, yeah. Anyway, so, and he's like, is anybody going to pay attention to what I'm saying? And we were like, no, not really. Okay, so what else were we going to talk about? All right, so Carmine Carmenuch, I love you. So I mentioned you first, right? We got you out of the way. You're done now. No, I'm only kidding. We got you out of the way. She said she's married, going to be 19 years in September, which God bless.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't hear that a lot.
No.
And now you have children?
Yes. So I have a stepson, CJ. He just got married this past Saturday.
How old? Congratulations.
He's going to be 28.
28. Okay.
Yes. I'm a grandmother.
Woohoo!
Do that. I'm a grandmother of a 1 7-month-old Nicholas Anthony. I have a daughter, Mia, who just graduated from Nurshell High School, the BOCES program. She's a Karen girl, cosmetology, fashionista, opposite of Beth, opposite of me.
Yeah.
And then Angelo, who's going to be 15, he goes to Kennedy Catholic up in Somers. He's going into 10th grade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You drive to Somers every day?
Negative. So that school has either the train or there's a bus that picks the kids up from Porchester Coles and takes them up. So A or B, drop them off in White Plains or go to Porchester.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's
so every morning and every afternoon I do that for him.
Yeah, see, and that's a mother's love, right? People say, because I drive my kid to and from school every day, too, and it's not down the block. And everybody goes, why? Like, I used to take him, you know, 25 minutes away. Mm-hmm. Now it's, you know, about 15, depending on the traffic, of course. And people always say, like, how? Why do you do that? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's our kids' education, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's an amazing school, what they offer, and you know, my son, he's not into sports. He'd rather sit behind his computer, movies.
Like every other
boy. He has his few
boy.
Sets of friends. Yeah. That's his thing. But he's a good kid. I don't stress him. Every kid we handle differently, right? So that's my boy. All my money's on him.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. Well, hey, listen. You know, I give you credit, and I you know, I've watched. We know each other now. I think 7 years.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
I'm bad with time.
I know. Well, I'm just saying, I only can, unfortunately, I base so much off of, you know, my life change. And Noah was 5 when we lost my husband. Mm. So we were there a year before. So okay. Noah was 4, okay. Believe it or not. Right? So now
he's like 10. Longer, but okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, they've been a long 7 years.
Yeah.
So it's definitely. So for some of you, just to, you know, let you know on a personal note, Beth and I are summertime family. That's, I guess, what you would call it, right?
Yeah.
It sounds gay, but, you know, what? Not to be unpolitically correct, it sounds, you know,
happy.
Silly. Right, but, you know, we are. We're like... we're summer neighbors.
We pick back up in like end of May, and then we kind of depart middle of September. Then
right.
We pick back up middle of May. That's how it is.
And then we all just keep up on social media. We see the pictures. We know this one's this one's that. And, you know, we kind of all stay connected that way and sometimes bump into each other somewhere along the way because you actually work around the corner from my son's school.
Yes.
So I beep the horn at you sometimes at 7:45 in the morning and you're like, who the hell is that? But so we are what we call summertime family. And the reason why I say that is we all belong to a club where it's really all families. We joined there, like I said, I think it was 2013.
Okay.
And we did it because, a main reason that we did it was because I don't live in a family-friendly neighborhood. You know, it's a dead-end street. Mm. There's nobody. We don't know anybody. My son really wasn't making friends in school. You know, and since he went to not in the neighborhood, it was different. So I had told my husband, you know, my husband had friends since he was a kid.
Mm.
And I wanted him to have, like, that network
mm-hmm.
to grow up in. And I felt the beach, you know, I felt like joining the club would enable that to happen, which it actually has, and
mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And so... for us, we're with each other every single day. It's like having a huge block party, right? Like, we all live right next door to each other, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're running in and out of people's, you know, cabanas. And she doesn't have a microwave.
Do you have a fork?
So, yeah, right. So she's always in my thing for the microwave or whatever, you know, and all of that. And so we have a close... Now, you have a... okay, wait, hold on. I just got a message about
everyone is saying that they don't hear anything
to
me.
Good.
That's
perfect.
They're saying.
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. I just
you guys on my feed, on my watch party, if you hear a humming in the background, just let me know and we'll turn off that AC.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything yet either. Bill, do me a favor. If you can check on Miami Mic Radio, just let me know how the audio sounds with my air conditioner on. So anyway, sorry for the interruption. I just want to make sure you guys can hear us well. So getting back to, you know, how we know each other. You know, we have this little summertime community, if you will, and Beth happens to know everybody. And, I mean, just in general, but, you know, and there. So there's a lot of families that have all been there. How long have you been there?
So we were there when Mia was a baby, which was 16 years ago. And then we paused. So I think it's paused. 10. We paused. I think it's
we paused by sentence station identification.
Because I did math. And I said I went 5 times divided by X thousand. It cost me $500 every time I walked
right
in the door.
There you go.
So we did a pause.
I hate when that happens.
But now I think it's 10 years, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know a lot of people, all of their kids grew up there, you know? And I even know people whose kids grew up there. Their kids had kids, and now their grandkids mm-hmm. are there, which mm-hmm. is really crazy.
Right.
You know?
And you have people from all over. It's not just New Rochelle citizens or residents. You have people from Eastchester, the Bronx. You know, they're coming
all
from all over. Mamaroneck, right. Yonkers. So
right. It's a nice
cool.
mixture
yeah.
of people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Beth is a very... But well, we're going to talk about all of this because she's like the mayor, like I said. She's very involved in everything that she does. And when we first joined, my husband told me about these three women that he met. So these two women he told me about. One of them, he said, you know, he goes, I love them. I love all of them. But you, Beth and her
Aunt Nancy.
So Nancy sells Aflac insurance, so he would scream Aflac every 5 seconds. And, you know, Beth is Beth. So, you know, Beth is, we're going to get into what she does. She also does real estate and all of this. So he would come home and tell me about these women. And he's like, and they met him and knew him before I did because I wasn't there. So they kind of made this bond together. And Joey used to talk to Nancy about the supermarket all the time. Right? That was a big thing. Nancy was obsessed with the supermarket.
She still is.
She still
right,
is.
Right, Nancy?
I think she had like a boyfriend in like the produce section or something at that point. Oh, don't tell them. Not, just kidding, John. No. No. No side meat for her.
No brujol
for
Nancy.
No side meat for her.
Oh, Carmine said I'm on my way.
Oh, God. That's all.
Do you see?
That's
you
all.
You don't know. We're in a secret location.
That's all it is. It's a secret. I mean, the she shed. You can't find us. So, anyway, they made this bond with each other, which was, you know, pretty awesome. And, you know, I'm not ironically. I mean, unfortunately, as most of the listeners know, I tragically lost my husband the following year, and it was at this club. So we had all of these families there together, and this tragic thing happened in front of all of these families and children who, you know, these parents had to have conversations with their kids that you should never have to have with your children, right. Especially depending on how old they are.
Right.
So, you know, Beth was actually, and Nancy and her husband, they were actually the ones that she, I just remember her saying to me, sweetheart, get your bag, you know, make sure you have your ID, mm-hmm. and let's go. And we were talking about this last mm-hmm. week, and you weren't really recalling a lot of, I just remembered that part. And she, you know, they were good enough. They took me to the hospital or whatever. And obviously we lost him. And Beth does a lot of volunteer work and, you know, and donates time and everything to that. And one thing that I will never be able to, you know, I will always be so grateful for is right after that happened, she did a GoFundMe page for us because my husband was the breadwinner of the family and I had no idea where my next dollar was coming from, and had she not done that, you know, I mean, I mean, I'm still ever grateful because it made a huge difference, you know, in our world. And you helped me because there were things that I needed to do with you know, paperwork and stuff that you were able to help me with because of your, you know, being a real estate agent and stuff. So everybody really pulled together, and I thank you for that. And we will talk more about, you know, how you participate and do fundraising and stuff. But I couldn't start this show off without acknowledging, you know, how appreciative I am that you helped us when we needed you.
Well, and, thank you.
You know, to me, that just shows everybody pulled together. And we just had Memorial on Friday. Everybody pulled together. And, you know, as hard as these moments are, it's really, it makes it a little bit more bearable when you know you have support and people behind you. So I say thank you. And I will say this. My son, so this woman, right? He lost his tooth, I think, like 3 days after or something.
Oh, sorry.
I forgot what happened. No, two things you did.
Whatever.
He had a free, he had his birthday, his half birthday. You bought him like a gun that was bigger than him.
A Nerf gun.
Yes. All you NRA, don't go crazy. It was a Nerf gun. And so she got him a Nerf gun that was big, and then he lost his tooth. And she goes, "Oh my God, Noah, the tooth fairy must have left this in my cabana thinking it was yours. $20 she left him."
Sorry.
So yesterday, you want to hear something funny? Yesterday, he's talking about the tooth fairy, and he goes to one of the kids next to us, "You should lose it here because the tooth fairy here at the club gives a lot of money."
Sorry.
I was hysterical.
We're at another level.
I was going to call you and say, you have no idea. I peed my pants when he said that. He was like, the tooth fairy on the kid gives us like $20.
Does he still believe in the tooth fairy?
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah, he still does.
I hope you're doing the right thing with 20s.
The tooth fairy, well, this is even funnier. I am not. He had too many teeth. I ran out of money.
He's going to be like this at the club.
I'm already auctioning off more body parts to pay for stuff. Now he writes a note to the tooth fairy because he doesn't want the tooth fairy to take his tooth. So he'll write a note. "Please leave money and don't take my..."
Oh, that's great.
"Thank you very much." You know, something like that. It's really quite
smarter
funny.
Than us.
Yeah, really. Well, it's his mother told him to write
the letter. Or lose at the beach club and remind Cabana 56.
Right, and remind Beth that, you know, we need to make that. But you guys are listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacey live on MiamiMikeRadio.com. And my guest today is Beth Acasella.
Yay.
I said that like a Bronx girl. And we are going to talk about a little bit of this and a little bit of that because we got a lot to talk about. So I'm sorry I didn't mean to go into a whole chapter and verse, but I just wanted you to know a little bit more about her heart and, you know, the type of person that she is. So now, what do you do, Beth?
So I'm a licensed real estate broker with Coldwell Banker. I've been with them since 2001-2. So almost, 17, 18 years?
Something
almost,
like that.
Something
You're
like
just
that.
As bad with numbers
I
as
know,
me.
I can't
great.
Do the math.
That's good.
What else do I do? I also do tax grievances when it's tax grievance time.
Right, so we're going to talk about that too.
Okay.
So let's, you want to, first finish talking about your real estate stuff and we'll get into that. Talk about real estate first because there might be a lot of people that don't really... how do you advise? First of all, how'd you get into that?
Oh, this is fun. So, So, went to Lehman College, full scholarship, to be a nurse. Can I start there?
You can start wherever the hell you want.
So, I wanted to save the world.
We got an hour and 40 minutes. Yeah.
I wanted to save the world. I wanted to work downtown with, homeless people. I was thinking the not Army Reserves. What do I want to say? Oh, Lord. I can't think.
Okay. I'm not sure.
It's something.
Okay.
So I wanted to, be down with... I wanted to help those people. So
okay.
The less fortunate.
Okay.
So, long story short, I did very well in school. I got a full scholarship to be a nurse.
Okay.
I then decided, no, I want to teach sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I want to be a health teacher. So I started taking education courses. I did my internship, Nourishell High School, health. But then I started to play spades. Don't play spades in college, people. It's a card game. Very addictive. And spades took over my life.
More money.
Not even for money. It was a game.
I'm teasing.
I wish it was for money.
I know, it's the thrill.
The thrill. So I made some really good friends in the cafeteria who I found out later never even went to that college. They would just come to play cards. So you people ruined my career.
There you go.
Long story short, ended up getting a degree in community health education and promotion. What the hell do you do with community health education promotion?
I don't even know what the hell it
Thank
means.
Thank you. It's something that nurses get for their masters. But I'm not a nurse. I'm not a teacher. What am I doing?
Okay.
So I ended up always working in a hospital. Nourishell Hospital, Lawrence Hospital. I worked for gastroenterologists. White Plains Hospital.
Huh.
Yeah, I kind of.
So when you were working in the hospital and stuff, you were doing what?
Medical records.
Records.
So like supervisor or in charge of the doctors signing where they had to sign.
Okay.
Birth certificates, all that fun stuff.
Okay.
In medical records.
Okay.
So, long story short, it's never short with me.
Yeah, too late.
Too late. I had my daughter, and my sister, who was in property management, who did very well for many years as a young woman,
okay,
was running, you know, many, many buildings, managing many buildings. She said, why don't we get our real estate license? I said, oh, hell no. I'm not going back to school. I have nightmares.
Yeah, right. Are you
Italian
done enough of it, right?
Like, I always have these nightmares about Italian class, and I said, I'm not doing it. She's like, come on. So I basically took my daughter, put him in Carmine's, my husband's arms, and I said, I'm going to go do this class. Did the class. It took a few months. Got my real estate license. Where do I put my license? You have to hold it with a broker. I gave it to Coldwell Banker because a distant relative belonged to Coldwell Banker in Larchmont. Started there.
Okay.
So little by little, I started sowing my oats, getting some deals. Oh, I'm decent at this. Oh, I'm good at this. Oh, I'm giving classes to people who have been in the business 30 years. Not saying like that. I'm just saying because technology was just starting.
Right.
A lot of stuff was on postcards.
Sure.
It wasn't really that computer geared.
Sure.
We opened a Nourishell office, went to Nourishell.
We're still good.
Okay.
It happens.
We opened a Nourishell office. So really consecutively for many years, I was the number one agent in my Nourishell office. And I took pride in that. Very happy about that. So that's how I started my real estate career. I've sold over like $170 million worth of real estate, which sometimes people go, that sounds like a lot. Some people think that doesn't sound like a lot.
Right.
But it is a lot. If you kind of average like $10 million a year, you do some co-ops at $50,000, you do some houses at $300,000, $400,000, $500,000.
Right.
You know, just for example, I'm not selling million-dollar houses every day, I wish.
That's how you got into
That's how
real
I got
estate.
Into real estate. And I think it was the best decision of my life because, you know, I don't know how much medical records supervisors get paid these days, but real estate pays.
Well, and, you know, it's, but you enjoy it as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you make a difference. You know, I think that was the whole thing when you started going to school, right? You wanted to make a difference. You wanted to be a doctor. You wanted to do whatever. You wanted to make a difference. You wanted to work with people. Mm. You wanted to have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say you definitely have an impact, no?
So in real estate, my impact is helping people find their dream home or their dream rental or their dream co-op or condo. So definitely. But it's fulfilling to me too because even though you say you make your own schedule, you're really on call 24/7. I mean, I'm answering calls at 10, 11, 12 o'clock, texts, believe it or not. People do text me at all hours of the night. But it's helped me meet a lot of people. It's helped me go to conventions and really, you know, get referrals from other states, other countries. That's what I love about that, too. So,
wow.
Yeah. We're not just taxi. We don't want to just be a taxi driver, right? You don't want to just drive people around. You want to make that bond, you know, conform with people and hopefully sell them or rent them something. That's the end game. So,
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, I never knew. I mean, I didn't know all that, that you started from, you know, like went from A to Z almost, you know, like in the sense that I can't believe you were in the medical field.
Yeah.
And then you ended up, you know.
Always.
But that's the wonderful thing about life, right, is that we have the opportunity. You're only as limited as you limit yourself to,
mm-hmm.
right? You have every opportunity to do whatever works for you.
Yeah. And I thank my sister, maybe I don't thank you, Stephanie, but
aww.
I do thank you for pushing me and being a scotch and saying, let's do that class because, you know, who knows? You know, who knows?
Listen, sometimes it's just those little things, especially like you said, I don't want to do that. And so it's like, you know, when you ever go shopping with your mother like 100 years ago and she's like, oh, I love that dress. And I'm like, I hate that dress. Just try it on.
Yeah.
No, I don't like it. I don't like the dress. Just try it on. It'll look different on. And then you're like, fine, because they're driving you crazy, and you try the dress on,
yeah.
and it really does
it
look good, and you like it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's how life is sometimes,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't know till you know. I always say that. So, you know, now you know. You know, I guess, you know, look, everything you learn, right? You have all of that knowledge behind you. Mm-hmm. So everything you learn is helpful as you go through mm-hmm. different phases of your life, sure. right?
And you have to, every 2 years, you have to take 22 and a half hours of extra credits. So you're constantly learning. Listen, a lot of it's repetitive. You're like, okay,
right.
How many times do I have to do ethics and fair housing?
Right.
But you have to do it. So that you have to keep up with that. So, and that's fine. You do it online. You go to some classes. It's all good. But I always feel like, I'm not saying this like a conceited way. I feel like when I was in my NourishL office, people always like came to me with questions. And I love that. Like, I love teaching without being the teacher.
Right.
I love, you know, no, you don't have to worry about the oil tank because of this. Or, yes, mold that. Or, so, that, I like that. I like helping people, too, yeah, who are in the business.
Well,
so.
You are a people person. And, you know, you want, I mean, I feel that way, too, you know, with the show. Like, I like to, you know, help people. So, sometimes, you know, people message me and you would think I was, like, a psychotherapist or something. Because they're asking me these questions and I'm like, I'm not a psychiatrist. I just play one on the radio. Like, you know, but it's true. You know, when somebody has the information, you know, or can help you with the information, mm-hmm. you know, and if you can do something, it's great. So now going off of ways to help people, you know, I don't know if a lot of people understand or are knowledgeable about tax grievance.
Okay.
So can you explain to us a little bit what that actually means?
Sure. So I'm going to say this slowly and then I'm going to repeat it.
Okay.
So most municipalities, for example, Yonkers, New Rochelle, White Plains, let's not go crazy, just to name a few.
Right.
The way you figure out your taxes is every house has an assessment, like an assessed value. So let's just say, for example, your assessed value is $10,000. The way you figure out your taxes is you would take your assessment times the tax rate. Now, tax rates change all the time.
We just got an increase in Westchester, right?
That's a whole nother animal.
Oh, okay.
That's a whole nother animal.
All right. We'll stick to one animal at a
time. We'll stick to one animal at a time. So taxes are like your sewer, your city, your county. It's all everything mixed up. So your tax rate, let's make believe your tax rate was 2.
Okay.
Use an even number. 10,000 times 2 gives you $20,000 in taxes. Okay?
Okay.
But how do you know if you're over-assessed, you're good, or you're under-assessed, right? Because if you're under-assessed, you keep your mouth shut.
Right.
You don't go to City Hall, hey,
right.
lower my taxes.
Right.
So I do, you know, I have my own little mathematical equation. It's real math. I
right.
do reverse math. I divide the assessment by what's called the RAR. Now here I'm going to lose you. RAR is the residential assessment ratio. Every municipality has it. It's a number that comes out every spring,
okay.
give or take, depending on where you live. So let's just say the assessment ratio, the RAR was 2. Use that 10,000 divided by 2. Your home is worth $500,000. You move the decimal around a few times. So I would say, Karen, do you think your house, now I use my real estate knowledge, right? I don't think your house is worth $500,000. I think it's worth $700,000. Then you are under-assessed because your assessment's 10,000. You divide it by the RAR, which is 2. You get the number $500,000. Karen, your house is really worth $700,000. You're being taxed as if it was worth $500,000. Zip it.
Right.
The reverse can happen.
Right.
Okay? Karen, your house is only worth $300,000. You're being taxed at 5 today, right? Let's say 2019. Let's grieve your assessment. You don't grieve taxes. You grieve that assessment. So my goal is to get that $10,000 down to, let's say, just using a number, $6,000. $6,000 divided by 2 means Karen's house is worth $300,000. On the real estate market, that's what I think. Your house is worth $300,000. So now I'm saving you a lot of money. So I've saved people from $400 to $600 up to $7,000 or $8,000.
Sure.
One woman in particular in Eastchester, oh, she kissed me long and hard. Because
maybe I should start doing tax assessments.
Maybe. And you know what? There are tax assessors out there who do an amazing job. I don't know if I could give them credit on Facebook, but I only do maybe I'll do up to 20. Otherwise, it's too much. Mm. It's time consuming. Assuming you have to have an appraisal, but I do my own because I'm a realtor, so you don't have to pay for that.
Very sneaky.
Well,
I'm teasing.
You know what?
No,
it cuts out one thing.
A lot of, I know, so. I've heard of real estate agents that do that. So, it does make sense.
Yeah. And some people have no idea what they're doing. And sometimes you get denied. So there's part two of this. Not to bore everybody, but part two is then you challenge the county. And then you have to do what's called a SCAR, S-C-A-R, not like star credit. That's S-T-A-R. You do an S-C-A-R. It's a SCAR petition where now you say, hey, I think we were right.
Hey.
I think my kids are ordering Uber Eats as we speak.
That's awesome.
Every day, okay?
Make some money.
Talk about Uber Eats.
Hurry up and make some money.
So then we petition the county, and it's like a $30 fee. And you wait for them to get a little money from us.
Right.
$30 fee, and then we petition the county. And sometimes you have to go see a judge, but sometimes they kick it back to the municipality. Again, Rochelle, Yonkers, wherever you're grieving. And then we usually try and meet with the assessor and settle it. So it could take months. Sometimes the longer it takes, the better, because then you get a nice juicy refund check if they agree with me.
Right.
If they don't, it's just, I hate to say time wasted, but
right. You're
not losing anything. I don't charge for my market analysis. I don't charge for the comparables. Can I talk about that? I charge when I get you a reduction.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. So it's a little side thing, and it's fun.
Well, so now, if somebody was, what would be advice that you would give to somebody, like, that owns a home and they don't know if they're paying the right, taxes on their home?
So, I could do the math instantly, like, in my head. I just need to know those couple of numbers. I need to know the assessment, the RAR, the tax rate, and I just do quick math. So, sometimes I'm showing a house and I'm like, whoa, the houses are $25,000. But honestly, guys, if you bought this house for X, we can grieve them down to 19. Oh, my God, Beth, that's great, 6,000.
Right.
Some cities are slicker, and they're watching, and they're going, wait a minute. I see on multiple listing that we call, the realtors call that the MLS. Oh, I see there's a brand new kitchen, a new roof, a new this. Wait, they didn't file for any of this stuff. Oh, we're going to hit you with a reassessment. So that's a whole nother story.
That can get you, right, gotcha.
If they're watching, sometimes they're not watching, but if they are watching and
somebody's watching me,
that's a whole nother story. So everyone on here who's watching who maybe does have a home, what I do is grievances are different times of the year for different municipalities. For example, I think Yonkers is November, like White Plains and Rochelle is like June or whatever. So if you... ever wanted to private message me, Beth Acasella, I usually put out a Facebook post, it's grievance time, and people, whether I'm friends with you or not, they'll private message me, and I say, just give me your address.
Right.
I go in the back end, and like the city's websites, and I look it up, and I'm like, you're good. This year, like everyone was good.
Oh.
I had no business this year. I had like two clients. I'm like, oh my God,
all right, people, let's go. Call her up. We got to make sure she's busy. Call her up.
Yeah, it just happened. Everyone was kosher, so it is what it is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You guys are listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacey live on MiamiMikeRadio.com, and we are talking to Beth Acasella, and she is explaining to us, she does real estate, and she's explaining to us about tax grievances, mm-hmm. right? Am I mm-hmm. saying that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, tonight we're going to talk about a little bit of this, a little bit of that. If you miss anything, we are on Facebook Live. We are live on MiamiMikeRadio.com. I will put the recording of the show on. You can always replay the Facebook Live, so you can find us and, anywhere you want to in the privacy of your own home.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. So I guess while we're on the subject of real estate,
mm-hmm.
You are on like a lot of different boards as well, right?
Yes and no. So I just joined or got voted in for the Rochelle Public Library Board trustee. There were two people running to regain their position.
Okay.
I kind of last minute decided to run.
Decided they're out.
You're out.
You're out. I'm in.
And I actually got the most votes.
out of the three.
Winning, hashtag winning always.
Winning.
No, and so I was voted in. Just Nourishville residents were able to vote. It was very nerve-wracking that night watching the votes. I went to City Hall, watched the votes come in. It was really cool, but it was scary because you're like,
Yeah.
I got that district. Oh, really? That district? Oh, really? Like, it's totally cool, right?
Right.
So, the one person who was on the board who came in third, basically, didn't get reelected. So that's what happened.
Okay.
So, so I'm on the library board. What else? I don't know if I'm on any other. Oh, I'm the president of the East End Civic Association, which is my neighborhood association, East End of New Rochelle. I think that's only official boards.
And now you also have a lot of involvement with a lot of things that are going on in New Rochelle, New York as well, right? So you represent developments that are being built? Going on that we should know about?
Okay, so New Rochelle is going through a real transformation.
Okay.
So I think for years we really I don't want to use the word fought, but we really didn't embrace the idea of development happening because everything is densely happening in the downtown area. Okay. So I was lucky enough to be retained, I guess, by one of the developers downtown. It's actually on Burling Lane, so it's right by the train. So although it's downtown, it's a little bit off the beaten path. It's behind the train station.
Okay.
And it's 110 units, and I'm very excited. I have about a third of the building pre-leased, although we're not open yet. Okay? So people are leasing off of renderings and floor plans, things like that.
Okay.
The flip side is there's about 31 new developments coming into downtown. And I think a lot of residents are new, right? So you're coming in from Brooklyn, New York City, wherever. Okay, whether you're downsizing, you're going into a rental, you're buying a house, we want you. We want you to come.
We want you.
We don't want to lose the people that are already here. So, for example, if I can just digress for a second.
Yeah.
When I bought my house, which I grew up in, I've been in my house since I was four.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So, I bought my parents' house, right? I'm in my parents' bedroom. Gotta love that.
Oh, boy. You're going to hell for sure. I think there's some type of sin for
something
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
So when I bought my house back, I think my taxes were, I'm going to make up a number, $9,000.
Uh-huh.
Right? Okay, can deal with that. Now my taxes are, without the star, like $16,500, right? So I've been in my house 15 years. So what happens in 5 more years, 10 more years? The tax rate never goes down. It keeps going up, right? So all of us, some houses have $30,000 in taxes, right? If you're around $1 million value. So what happens if I want to stay in New Rochelle till I'm 65? And
you
now I retire.
Start selling body parts.
I'm going to start selling body parts and teeth. And I'm going to be the tooth fairy, but I'm going to steal the money
right,
from the kids.
Right, there you go.
So if now I decide to sell my house, I'm going to have nice equity in my house.
Right.
But now I'm going to go to, let's say, a rental. But the rentals are as expensive as my mortgage, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So for the people who have been here, old-timers, you know, people in the West End, you know, there's all different ends of town, but even, whatever, northeast, south, it doesn't matter. How do we stay here? Where do we go?
Right.
You can't all run to Florida or South Carolina. We can't all run. So what do? So
run, Forrest, run!
So building that equity is so important, if you can hold on. Getting that equity out, I don't know, do you buy an investment property, do you buy a multifamily, at least you have income coming in up or downstairs, whatever.
Right.
But the developments, it's happening really quick.
Right.
I think one thing that a lot of people are probably not so keen about, too, is we're losing all of our parking lots. I don't know if you care about this stuff, guys, but we're losing all of our municipal lots. They're going to have a lot of valet systems going on. Or at least
every
one.
Place has valet.
Yeah.
Valet's my favorite. Take my car. I don't want to walk. I'm good. Thank you. Bye-bye.
But you're still. But if you're losing, let's say, 5 lots around the downtown area, and the valet system is, let's just say, by the library, which is kind of the core of downtown.
Oh, yeah, right. It's not right
But
there.
You want to go walk to Posto. You want to walk to Modern.
Right.
Now, you, like,
That's
I'm lazy.
Long. No, that's too
I don't. I want to park right in front.
Yes.
And you, even if you have to walk two blocks is too much for some people.
No, to me, valet is in front. I get out and I walk out.
It's
that's
not
it.
Going to be that. Oh. So they're going to have.
I don't want to take it back.
Take it back. So I think they're trying to implement a central valet system. I guess it's better than nothing, but we have to stop giving away. I think we have to stop giving away our parking, our municipal lots. My library, we have the library green, farmers market, a lot of stuff going on. The library is an amazing place. I, for one, have to admit, I didn't take advantage for years. But now learning so much and like studying all the programs, you want to do yoga, you have a 3-year-old, you're a 90-year-old, they have everything. Huh. Tax prep. It's crazy the amount of programs they have.
That's amazing.
And what I don't like, or I don't know if I should say I don't like, is the amount of big buildings that are going to encompass. You have 48 stories coming around. It's going to be very dark. Are they making Main Street and Huguenot two ways instead of one ways? So there's a lot of things, and I think a lot of people in Nerschel are starting to go, well, what?
Yeah.
You want the people from different municipalities, from East Chester, from North End, Nerschel, we always talk about North and South. They're not going to walk to downtown because they're a few miles away.
Right.
They want to be able to park. So I guess they'll have to valet park.
Right.
And
six
maybe
miles away.
They go somewhere to eat or shop. We have great restaurants downtown, Division Street, Restaurant Row, the place to be, right? They have great stuff. Hurley's, Posto, Wooden Spoon, Coromandel. If I can't sell you a house, I can tell you where to eat.
Don't get me started on Hurley's. I will never recommend that place.
Okay. Okay, next.
Yes. Anyway. And okay. we are going to talk about that, but I want you to
okay,
finish
fine.
Your... Are you... Not that particular, but are you...
Okay.
So
I am pro-development, but it might be too much too fast.
Right. I got
fair
you.
Fair answer?
Yeah.
I don't want people to say, oh, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. I am a leasing agent. I am a real estate broker. I am blessed. But there's some things that... I think I have to chill out a little bit.
Well, unfortunately, you know, it's difficult. You know, there's nothing anymore in life is in moderation. Everything is just, you know, coming at you from all levels. So mm-hmm. You just kind of have to try to find that level, you know.
We're beyond that.
Yeah.
There's no even Steven. The one thing, too, I'd like to talk about, if anyone's interested, there's all the development is supposed to have 10% affordable. What's affordable?
Yeah.
Affordable, well, there's different. There's Section 8, right? There's affordable. There's non-affordable.
Right.
I hate to say it like that.
Right.
So affordable is basically your salary is like 80% of like the median income. What's the median income? They're all dreaming. So if the median income is, make up a number, 80,000, one person has to make under 65. Two people have to make under 75. Three people, a family of three, under 85. What about the people at 100, 125, 150? You can't afford a $3,600 two-bedroom apartment that you're cramped in at 1,000 square feet. So there's a lot of discrepancies with the affordable, but I rented all my affordable. I have amazing people. I can't wait for them to get into this building. But everyone else only has about 10%, and some of them aren't filling their affordable, but that might be another show.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, it's all good. Like I said, today we are talking about a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You're listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacey live on MiamiMikeRadio.com, and tonight I am here with my dear friend, my summertime family sister.
Summertime.
Oh, we'll talk about that too. Summertime. There you go, Bill. Bill Cole, who's one of our biggest supporters. His girlfriend is Lulu Nocera. So,
take me.
There you go.
I saw her at the freestyle concert.
Yeah, there you go.
I always go, how come she's never there? And then all of a sudden, one of the ones I went to last year or something, she was there. So, that's awesome.
She's back.
Yeah. That's good.
She's
that's
back
good.
On the scene, and she happens to be a big MMR follower because Bill Cole, her boyfriend, is one of our, we love him. He's always a huge supporter of all of our Miami Mike
okay.
Radio
Well,
shows.
We're going to talk about some freestyle.
Oh, we absolutely are, no doubt about it.
Okay.
Yes. So yeah, let's talk. We'll lighten it up a little bit because people can't deal with too much reality at once. So we just segued in. Thankfully, summertime just gave us the segue in. So now you are a little freestyle freak.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, how long have you been a freak? How old?
Forever. I was born 1971.
Oh, so we're almost the same age.
Yeah, I'll be 48 in September.
Yeah, I'm 49.
Okay. So, when I was younger...
Nothing ever starts well when I was younger.
When I was younger, I wanted to be a breakdancer.
A breakdancer?
Or a DJ. All right, that was like my eighth grade yearbook said DJ or chef. I mean, what the... So... I had a Task Force jacket. Come on, people. From the Task Force, I had the Kango. And I walked with a bop. Because, like, I want to be
still
one
walk with
I
a
still
bop.
I have I, that, my hips
running. Because you got bad knees.
Bad knees and uneven hips. So I wanted to, like, be Run DMC. When the guys were breakdancing on cardboard boxes in front of McDonald's, I was like, oh, I wanted to do that. But my body wouldn't let me. Breakdance.
Spin on my head. Don't let them do that.
But mentally, I thought I could do it.
There you go.
So, from Kango Kid, I then, obviously, old school rap. Love that.
Okay.
Hung out with a lot of people from, like, the Davenport crew. You don't know who they are. They're from Never Shell. Brand Nubians. Some of the guys from the Brand Nubians I was friends with. I had mixtapes.
Mixtapes.
That was stolen out of my Monte Carlo in front of Lehman College back in the day. But I remember these songs.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I wish they were on here because I would start singing. They'd be like,
we all do.
They were never produced. Anyway, so, but I remember. So, long story short, never short.
I remember what you like.
Then freestyle. Who the hell's Judy Torres? Who's TKA? Who's Strafe or Strafe, however you say it. And then we were going to, at 16,
I was younger than that, so go ahead.
We were taking our licenses. Am I able to do this?
Yeah,
sticking it in the typewriter and going, click, whiting it out, right? Uh-huh. Chalk, and it would stay perfect, and then we would just insert it into our wallet, and you'd show.
Wow, see, I never did that.
Was the trick.
Well, I didn't have a driver's license, but we used to just buy fake IDs. You guys were doing it
yourself. We did
that,
too.
Huh?
Well, I guess maybe Westchester kids use chalk and typewriters.
Westchester kids are different. Bronx kids, they're just like, give me the freaking ID.
So I would go into Marty and Lenny's as a 16, make-believe 19-year-old, and my sister, who was like 14, Mom, what were you doing? I would pass the license off to her. So we would do an Act 3, 4 P's, loved 4 P's down in the Bronx, Fordham area. That was crazy. Saw Jungle Brothers, got hit in the head with a banana, picked it up and ate it. I'm like weird.
Hit in the head with a banana.
Yeah, they're like throwing bananas. Remember Jungle Brothers? Banana. Jungle Brothers on the run, y'all. So Jungle Brothers.
And who
girl,
brings a banana
you.
To go out?
The Jungle Brothers.
Oh, because of the. All right, I got
and
it.
They threw bananas.
All right, they threw bananas.
So
and then you ate bananas.
Yeah, and I ate one because I was hungry.
Only you.
And
you
it was midnight. So, the freestyle Beatstock, I think, might have been like one of the Beatstocks was like one of my in Staten Island was like one of my first.
Staten Island.
Yeah, it took like 9 hours to get there. I had
yes,
no idea.
It takes you have to take a boat, a train, 16 bridges, and 47 canoes, and then you're there.
Don't ask me how to get there.
Yeah, really convenient. I don't know how anyone. God bless you all if you live in Staten Island. I don't know how anybody lives in Staten Island.
Actually, I won the tickets on like Z100 on the radio. I was like, oh my god! Went to Beatstock. Started loving TKA, Judy Torres, Cynthia. But I love, not that I don't love them. I love them. But I love, like, I call it, like, more the underground freestyle.
Yeah, absolutely.
The ones that I wish, Mic Mac, things like that, who do not perform.
Yeah.
So that's why when Summertime came out, I'm like, oh. Or even Lime. Lime to me isn't necessarily
back in the
freestyle.
Scene, though.
Back
yeah,
in the scene.
Not really freestyle, but
they,
they're performing.
Them.
Yeah. They're performing a lot more these past couple of years.
Ronaldo, Sam Savon, love Sam Savon. You're gonna who the hell is Sam Savon? Just go to YouTube, find all these songs. You don't want me to sing?
Oh, come on, why not? Maybe we'll either lose everybody or we'll get more people. They'll be like, "There's some crazy bitch singing on Miami Mike Radio right now. You gotta tune in." I think her name is Beth Acasella.
Well, that's so. Freestyle. I have crates of records in my garage. I won't tell you where I live. They're not melted. They've been in there for many, 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 many years. And again, from the old school white lines and BDP and all that stuff, we used to sneak down to the Bronx. We'd take the 60 bus to the 9. That's all I remember because we made a rhyme.
Where did you go in
take
the
60
Bronx?
To the 9 to go to Robbie's house because he is fine. We thought that was cool.
That is, yet again, gateway.
Whatever.
Yeah,
cool. We went to Hector's. I don't know where Hector's was, Fordham Road. All I know is we got off somewhere. We ran in.
Oh, you got off somewhere and ran
in.
Yeah,
ran
good.
In, bought a 12-inch or whatever inch, and came back home.
Oh, it was a record store. Oh, I thought you meant a club.
No.
Oh, okay, all right.
Clubs, we all drove or whatever. Morning Lenny's was right up the street because I lived right there.
Yeah, so I never went there.
Oh,
you know that?
God.
I never did the Guido scene. I never did it. When I went out, you know, freestyle was also, you know, back in the day, it was a lot, mostly the artists themselves are mostly Hispanic. So, you know, it was... It's funny how it was too, you know, especially when we were younger, it was very West Side Story, you know, right? Like everybody kind of clicky, everybody had their own clicks and stuff. So I actually, you know, growing up, performing arts and stuff, you know, I had a very diverse, you know, group of friends. And I went to school with some of the artists now that are, you know, out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, I used to go to like the Devil's Nest.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, it was down in like the South Bronx. No. My parents never knew I was going there.
Yeah.
You know, and I found out later that Sal Abitello ran that back in the day. So yeah, we used to go like, and then we did like the city stuff, like 1018, Heartthrobs.
Mm. I'm city stupid.
Yeah.
Still city stupid.
We used to do all of that. And that was a lot of fun. But, what was my point to that?
About where you went to dancing and clubbing.
Because you were talking about driving and that, I think that was my
point. Well, Marty Lane's was close.
Number one, I didn't drive.
Okay.
And number two, I was either down in the city or I was at like, you know, a rock and roll long hair. I was right stuck between because I like all the guys with the long hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I would want to go there to hang out with them. But then I wanted to dance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I would go to the freestyle things. And when we would go freestyle, there was, I don't know about you guys, I never talked to nobody when we used to go out dancing. We would go out like we were ready to work out. Like we had the thing around our head, flats, everything. We would just throw down. That was when we used to do the circle. We used to have a circle. Everybody used to go in the middle of the circle and they used to like up rock?
Yeah.
Me and Carmine up rocked.
Carmine!
We've mentioned Carmine twice today, right? Carmine Ouch.
He just wrote, hi, West End.
Yeah, I think I broke my knee that day because I was up rocking in my bathing suit with him.
Oh, yeah.
And my knee went out because I had no shoes on and I was like, you know, 40-something. So you're not supposed to up rock when you're 40-something. But yeah, we used to go battling. Did they do that in like the Westchester crowd?
So let me think. I might have missed that. Because I don't remember people battling over freestyle. Battling more over like, do, 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 do.
The Mexican was the biggest one. Me and Carmen Ouch were battling. We were going back and forth. We used to do that.
I think I lost some brain cells along the way. I don't know why. Because a lot of stuff I don't remember. The Greenhouse was on Main. Oh. Greenhouse was on Main Street up top. And then you would like... They would, like, close it down because something bad would happen. Like, a bouncer would throw someone down the stairs.
Would kill somebody, right?
And then we'd go around the corner to streets. Now, streets is more like rock. So you were, like, so in high school, I was confused at some point.
The only person that was.
Yeah. So I was, bless
the sacrament. No one else was confused in high school. Don't worry, Beth. You're the only one.
Bless the sacrament, St. Gabe's, Catholic school girl, the skirt, all that happy stuff. Convinced my parents Catholic school was too easy. They were like, okay, you can go to nursery
school. You mean Catholic school girls were too easy?
No.
kidding.
Maybe some. So they let me go to nursery high school, 10th, 11th, 12th, right? So go to nursery high school, and I had friends. So this is the layout of nursery high school back in the day. It might still be that way. The downstairs cafeteria were the Guidos, the less fortunate African-Americans, and... maybe Hispanic kids. Upstairs were the Jewish kids North End, more money kids.
Okay.
And then the other ethnic, it was kind of like money, no money.
Oh, okay. Right. I was gonna say, the aristocrats got the top.
I guess. So I had friends upstairs. I had friends downstairs. So I'd go to school, my hair teased up, kind of like my Snooki look now, with my Cavarici jeans. You all had them.
Cavarici.
My little tank top or little short bolero thing.
Right.
And I thought I was...
the shit.
The shit. But I really wasn't. Then I'd go upstairs, and I'd put two ponytails.
Oh, my God. Really?
A blue... what do you call those? Not Nikes. What were the sneakers? The high tops. Whatever. Like Nike high...
Reeboks, right?
Yeah. The Converse.
Converse.
Blue Converse. Pink Converse. Some rainbow skirt and like a sweater.
And you would do all this just to go from one floor to the other?
Not in the same day.
Oh, I was going
to
say.
And I was trying to figure out, like, where do I fit in? Because I'm cool. Like I'm a nice person. I'm friendly. I have all these friends. But I was like, reaching up there and like reaching downstairs and really... it drove me crazy.
Yeah.
High school drove me crazy. I felt like I really, yeah. I hate to say didn't fit in because I really feel like I have so many friends all over.
You do.
And I don't want to say like, I don't have any best friends. I feel like I can kind of grab anyone at any time,
yep.
But not in a conceited way. Like,
right,
not
right,
like
right.
That.
No, no, no.
And yeah, I did a lot of changing.
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny that you say that because I guess I was just saying the same thing, but differently, right?
Mm.
Because I had that crew, you know, that I would hang out with, and those were my people. But then I liked, you know, this other, you know, which was like, it's kind of, especially like I grew up, my neighborhood was, you know, Guido and very, you know, like more mafia type of, people,
yeah.
If you will, or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, that didn't go over well. Like, you like long hair. Like, you know, my husband was in that neighborhood with long hair, but he was still very Italian. So
right.
He fit in
right.
Because the mentality was
right.
Still there. But when they would first look at him, they
yeah.
were like, who's the, you know, who's the, you know.
The rockhead or whatever they
right,
thought.
Right,
and then he'd
or the
half
a whole weed or whatever it was that, you know, the assumptions that are made.
Right.
So it's true because it's hard to balance both ends of the spectrum sometimes. And when you're, see, like now we don't care, right?
Mm.
But when you're younger, you don't know where the hell you fit in, right? So you're like, wait a minute, I really love this music. I love to go out dance and I love to be with this crowd of people. But then, like, I really love this music and I really love this crowd of
yeah.
people. So, yeah, you don't know which
yeah.
way to go. So it's great to be able to be a chameleon, if you
mm-hmm.
will, and have that on one side and that on the other,
yeah.
and all families loving you. Like,
yeah.
you know, oh,
well,
yeah.
It'd be nice if they all loved you.
It'd be nice if they all loved you. You know, sometimes they don't, but...
yeah.
You know, you can only do your best, but, you know, you just got to be you. And sometimes, you know, that's the whole thing about life. I think as people get older, they realize how many levels they have, right? Because, you know, as you grow and you learn and you meet new people and different experiences, you realize, oh, you know what, that I kind of like, I'm okay with that. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't really think, like, honestly, when I was younger, I didn't hang out with Guidos.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, I love them all,
yeah.
you know, so... And not that I didn't love them then either. It was just different. And when I did hang out in my neighborhood, I loved them because they made me laugh
mm-hmm.
and they were extremely respectful and, you know, everything else. So, you know, it's just, but like you said, sometimes everybody doesn't all play well in the sand together.
It didn't play well. And I don't know how it is now in the school. I think it's probably even more screwed up. But
it's probably just as bad,
yeah.
if not worse, because now everything you do is recorded.
Yeah.
You know, so like if you were a secret, you know, like rockhead, you know, like you were a Guido girl, a Guidette, whatever you want to call it, and then a secret rockhead, now you're going to get videoed in the rock club, you know, banging around
yeah.
in your Converse and, you know, whatever. And
yeah,
now people are going to be like,
you.
What the hell? Why is Beth over
yeah.
there and she's not over here?
Yeah,
you know?
Here.
So.
Where are you going?
Where are you going?
Go here.
Are you Beth Akasella?
Yeah, whatever. Class of 1989.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, so let's go back.
Yeah.
Wait,
way back.
Can tell you?
Back into time.
1989. So wait, I go to my, so wait, okay, so I go to my, I don't drink, I don't like to drink.
Yes, we're going to talk about
I was smoking some cigarettes, they were $2.75 at the time, I remember stealing quarters just to,
how much are
$10, $11, $12 for Newport. I mean, they got to be over, they're over $10, I don't know.
I know.
And I loved Newport.
You can buy new lungs faster than you can smoke.
But let me tell you, now, tell me if I'm crazy, anybody, I don't know.
You're crazy. I can say it before you even start.
Let's say you love Newport, but you didn't have Newport and you had to smoke like a Marlboro Light, but you couldn't stand Marlboro Light. So you'd put a piece of like minty gum in your mouth I would make believe it was a Newport.
Oh my God,
come on. How many thumbs up? No, anybody?
Funny, yeah.
So 1989 was the last time I drank. What? Yes, it was, because I didn't like alcohol. I drank Jägermeister or something. I wasn't pounding.
Ugh.
I drove home. I think I rolled home because I had a stick shift car. I think I just let it roll down Main Street. I up 9 times, and all I remember is my mother going, "Beth, why is the toilet running?" Because I have 3 bathrooms in my house. Flush, 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 flush. See, people are laughing. Flush, who's laughing at me? Flush, flush, flush. And we went to Burger King, because Burger King used to be down there by Salina. Went to Burger King, shoved a couple of burgers. I never drank again. So that's why whenever I go to the bar, can I have a virgin colada, really? Yeah, really, because I don't like the way it tasted. I never did.
Well, first of all, you would drink. See, I need to work with you on this. Now, the problem is that no one should drink Jägermeister, okay? That is what they give you for a cough.
Yes.
That is not what anybody should be having for out. That's not a drink, okay?
Yeah.
I do remember the Jägermeister. I do remember doing it. I do remember cringing. It tasted like cough medicine.
Mm.
So that's the first problem. So we need to fix that. Never drink that shit again. So that was it. So that day, because I puked my I think I've lost organs from throwing up
that
so
was
bad.
It.
And I still drink.
That was it. Because I really didn't like it. So I said, what the hell? And I might be lying. I think when the Palace opens on Main Street, I think I had one Tanqueray and tonic. Ooh. And then I think I smacked
again,
a girl. Because she was talking about my boyfriend. And I think I cracked her.
I think that you might have been smacked her regardless. I don't think it was a Tanqueray and tonic. I think she just was a bitch and you
It was something. It was a bad day. So I might be kind of lying. So 1989, we'll just keep it in 1989. But I don't like it. So I'm good. I'm good. It's not my thing.
All right.
I don't smoke anymore either.
So you don't... You 1989. So you were 18.
That was
12th
grade, yeah.
You were 18.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the last time you never tried it again as an adult?
No. I hate wine. Well, I mean, for example,
Italian. It's against your religion.
No, wine's disgusting. I can't stand it. Don't ever give me a bottle of wine. I can't stand it. I think one time at the VIP or something, I said, "Oh, give me that margarita," and I took a sip and I was like, "Oh, I'm drunk." Because I think a sip or two will really put me over the edge.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm already half over the edge.
We all are. That's and I'm half over the edge, which is why I drink. So, you know, I guess we all have our reasons. But you're listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacey live on MiamiMikeRadio.com. And my guest, Beth Acasella. We are talking about New Rochelle development. She does real estate. We were talking about tax grievances,
freestyle.
The board she was on. Yep. And now we're talking about freestyle music because, of course, all of us freestyle freaks out there on Miami Mike Radio. So, yeah, hit the like button and let me know that you guys are tuned in and you're freestyle freaks like us, because we're walking down memory lane here. And I'm going to, I think I need to do, like, alcohol training with you, because you drank the wrong thing. Jägermeister and then a Tanqueray and tonic. I know why you don't drink. Although, never take a sip of anything I drink, because you'll probably
think it's
rocket
fuel. It looks good, your drinks
fuel.
Yeah, but they look happy and fruity. You always have, like, a little piece of fruit
That's
in there.
That's because I want to be happy and fruity.
Yeah.
Yes, I like fruit. Everybody laughs. The bartenders hate when I come around because they know that my drink is going to be a little more labor intensive because I like what
you're creative.
I'm creative.
Creatively fruity, alcoholy.
Most people just call it a pain in the ass, but I'll go with creatively fruity,
alcoholy.
I'll go with that. I like it. But yeah, that's definitely, we're going to work on that. I'm going to make you try something. But,
okay.
So,
oh boy.
Yeah. But
wait, this is what I'm afraid of.
What?
That I'll like it. Okay, so I'm fixated on food. I should be 500 pounds. I'm more than halfway there. So you do the math, okay? So, ding, ding. I have, let's say I liked pina coladas with alcohol. Or if I liked coffee, I don't drink coffee, I don't drink tea. I would be the person to get the Venti Grande 8 times a day. That's what I'm scared of.
Yeah,
if I had a
drink...
slush puppy machine in my house, I would drink 15 slush puppies
a day. Didn't
we
do the snow cone? Didn't I?
I would have 50 snow cones.
Wait a minute. You're already drinking the pina colada without the alcohol.
I don't,
so you're getting all the calories and no benefit.
I'll be under the bar. That's what I'm afraid of. I might be under the bar.
It's being on top of the bar that you should be. That should be your goal.
I might be on top of
Carmen Oach. I'm working on this. You know what? Look, I'm teasing you.
I
think that, you know, look, I respect everybody. And, you know, if you know your personality, you're saying you have an addictive personality, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, but when I smoked cigarettes, not that I smoked packs a day, when I got pregnant with my daughter, I literally remember I worked in White Plains Hospital. I was outside doing this. Come on, come on. Because I didn't want to quit. I thought, why do I need to quit? For all the pregnant people out there, it's better to quit, yes. But I wanted to keep it up as long as I could. Once I gave birth to my daughter, I was like, how come I don't want a cigarette? How come I don't want a cigarette? A year later, how come? Never went back. That was the best thing. Besides it being expensive, you know what I mean? I'm overweight as it is. I can't breathe half the time walking. But it just, so no alcohol, no smoking, no coffee. I'd rather eat a pound of penny vodka.
Yeah, that's you really have. That's like no vices. Jesus Christ.
It's food. Food.
Yes, and you know what? We're going to talk about
that. We could do a restaurant review.
Well, let me tell you, you know what's really funny is that my son asked me who my guest was tonight, so I told him you. And then he goes, and I said, yeah, you know, well, what are you going to talk about? I said, well, you're going to talk about a bunch of things, but, you know, real estate. He goes, and that woman can cook.
Saturday we're cooking. Hold on. So the cabana next to us. What are you making? I said, so John, you know what I'm talking about, Dawn and John, if you're listening, John says, yo, what are you girls making? You should be cooking this weekend, okay? John was having a good time the other night.
Nah.
So, Dawn's making macaroni and cheese balls. That's a fail. I said, do you want me to make cockles or tacos?
What is a cockle?
Your father loves my cockles. The clams.
I don't know if anybody should say that. Oh, you're my father. I'm the one who asked you for the goddamn clams, always.
So, listen, not to be all like Martha Stewart here, but the slow cookers, you can do anything. So I think I'm going to do tacos. It's not creative. It's not, but it's easy. I could just bring
it's delicious.
Down, boom, 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 with all the little toppings. Jenny's going to make stromboli and some maybe eggplant parm.
Her eggplant is the best, especially she gets the eggplant from her garden, too. If you're making eggplant, I need my own special thing of it.
Wrong.
No, I do, because if I don't, that is my special request, and Jenny loves me. And
you can pound it, you can put the rocks on it,
the
bricks, you can do what you want. I'm just going to brown some taco meat, which takes no effort. But I have two open houses, so I have to kind of grab and run.
I was going to put my order in because I haven't had any clams.
No cockles.
Haven't had clams
all year.
But, and that is so, Beth always feeds me. Like, I love my summertime family. I always gain weight in the summer, which is normally when you should lose weight because you shouldn't be eating because it's so goddamn hot. But my summertime family feels the need to feed me. And especially, you know, since, you know, the passing of my husband when I wasn't eating at all, it was if they didn't come over and Beth was like, here, Karen, here's a plate of food. And I was like, oh, she's like, did you eat today? And I'm like, I don't think so. And she's like, how the hell do you forget to eat? How do you not know?
I'm on my fifth plate.
Yeah, she's like, how do you not know if you ate? I'm like, I didn't even, Friday night, I had fed Noah in the beginning of the day. And then when we were getting ready to go home, he's like, Mom, I'm starving. And I'm like, he's like, you never fed me dinner. And I was like, holy shit, I didn't. Because he eats 57 times a day. I mean, I'm getting Mother of the Year for sure. But you know, I was like, oh my God, because normally, you know, hey, mom, I'm hungry. So every, you know, I said it's going to be cheaper for me to put him through college than to feed him. But which you have a boy as well, so you know what that's like.
Yeah. Uber Eats.
Yeah, so right. So now what goes on with that? Like you're while you're doing the show, you're getting a notification that your kids are ordering Uber
They're wise guys. So my credit card is logged in. They all have their accounts. So it started, Mom, I'm hungry. Well, I'm at the club. You're on your computer at home. What do you want to order? I think I'm going to order Popeyes. I'm going to order Walter's because really so many places do Uber Eats. Now it's him ordering because I'm mom of the year. I'm either working or at the beach club. And if they don't want to come, they're shaking me down. So instead of money, they log into Uber Eats. And it's like Uber Eats and then the tip. Uber Eats and the tip. So my daughter is with her boyfriend right now. They just ordered McDonald's. You got some nerve. Get in your car and go get the McDonald's, dear. Why am I paying for it?
Schnucky, so why isn't her boyfriend paying
for it?
That's
what I
said. That's a better question.
Uh-huh. Jeezy. Mm-hmm.
Mia, I'm going to talk to you about that tomorrow. No, I'm kidding.
So whatever. Whatever.
But now, but you do, I love food as well, even though a lot of people may not believe me. I do love food. I love to cook.
Okay.
And I do like to eat good food.
Yeah.
Now, what you make, like, you cook a lot, but, I mean, you just said that you're not home, but normally you're a cooker.
I go through stages, so I'm either psycho cooker, or I'll go a year. Carmine just said, hi, I'm still here. Right, Carmine? I'll go a year.
I am still here. Don't lie to me. Don't lie.
So, and again, this isn't, like, saying it in, like, a braggy way. Sometimes we're out to dinner every night. You're talking $100 a night. That's a mortgage payment. Easily. So, let's go to
Thank
Magnus.
Thank God you don't drink.
Let's go to Maria's. Oh, let's go to Winspoon. Oh, let's go to Posto. Let's go to Posto. Let's go to Gemelli's. I can name a million restaurants. Greek. We just get in the car. We go to Pizza Gourmet. Pizza Gourmet because our friends own it and we love their food and they do the right thing.
Right.
So it's easy to just go.
Right.
And the kids, what about us? You guys left. Oh, Uber Eats. Oh, I'll grab you McDonald's. Not the healthiest, not the best. I'm being truthful. It's like kind of doing our thing. So it's in stages. I don't know if, you know, it's not a couple of years ago, but last year I went vegan.
Yes, let's talk about that because I broke your balls severely over that. You know, and every time you did go vegan. Now, I always joke around. I say I eat vegan except I eat meat, which is insult to all vegans, right? But I was poking fun a little bit because, so wait, let's just back up a second.
Yes.
When we first joined the club, my son, they thought he had, you know, he was on the spectrum. They thought all of these things, right? So I implemented a huge, you know, I changed his eating habits.
Dairy,
I changed all these things.
Dairy,
no dye. So I was the crazy mama. And everybody on the row used to make fun of me, right? Because the minute there was somebody that was going to feed
him. Don't give him that ice pop.
Right. I ran across the beach because I saw somebody take one of those the sugar water thing, a blue sugar water thing. And I was like, no! And I'm like running to stop him, right? And so you all thought I was nuts, right? And my husband, of course, thought I was nuts as well. And he would eat from all of you guys because he was like, yeah, my wife made some freaking... whatever, you know, like, he'd come home and was like, what are we not eating now, you know? And I'm like, all right, no more meat. And he's like, okay, no more meat. And why exactly are we not eating meat? Yeah. Like, you know, you're going through all these things. So, yeah, so when I, you know that I used to do everything non-GMO, everything organic, no dye, no processed foods, whatever. I think I'm a lot better now, right? I mean, because I just couldn't.
Yeah.
After he died, there was just so much I could do. I was just like, whatever.
It's very hard to stay away the non-GMO. Like, I really didn't understand it until you would, and not to just talk about that, when you would be, you know, talk about that.
Right.
Or whatever. And I'm like, what the hell is she talking about, non-GMO? And then I'm like, wow. Our food is messed up.
So for anybody that doesn't know what GMO is, it's genetically modified food. So what that means is that it was formed in a lab and not grown It's not, you know, real food. It's a laboratory food. Yeah. And God only knows the chemicals that are in it that create it. So, you know, I still try to do everything non-GMO. I don't have the finances to do the organic as much as I'd like to, but I do try. A lot of companies now have a lot of things that are non-GMO, everybody's getting, you know, like smart about it.
Yeah.
But, so when you went vegan,
I went plant-based first.
Right, which I thought was really interesting because you were the one who was like the meatball queen, the sausage queen, the brajol queen, you know, all of that stuff, right? So when I would see you, you were eating like a falafel, you were like, oh, this falafel is delicious. And I'm like, is there any sausage in that? And you were like, no, I don't eat that. And every time you ate, but everything you ate looked delicious. I mean, but you know, I was used to you at the super sad. You know, you always sit down with your mother-in-law.
Yeah.
She makes the nice homemade salad. Yeah. You got the cheese. You got the super sad and the olives. And normally I'm over there like, oh, can I have one? And you know, so now you stop doing that, and I'm like, well, what am I going to do here?
Yeah.
So now, why did you go vegan?
So if you want to become anything in life, watch something on Netflix. You want to become a vegan, you watch, I'm going blank, whatever the show is. You want to become a racist, watch a show on Netflix. You want to become a murderer or get away with murder, watch a show on Netflix. So I watched it on Netflix, and that...
You are what you eat, or what is it?
Knives and Forks or something. Fork and Knives?
I don't know.
Knives
don't know
to Forks?
You watch. I don't know which one
fork
you
watch. Fork to Table? It's something.
Something like that. Okay.
Someone will chime in. So I watched it the next day. I said, that's it. I'm done. When I watch something from like, PETA or something, and I see a cow, and I see this, I cringe.
Yeah.
And I haven't had a hot dog in it's 3 years because I watched a video of all these little baby pigs. I don't know if that's how they make a hot dog, but in my mind, they said that's how they make a hot dog.
Right.
All these baby, am I allowed to say this? Getting ground up or whatever, there's your happy hot dog. I want no part of it.
Well, yeah, it's all byproducts of stuff, so you don't really know. I mean, a hot dog is one of the worst possible things you could eat.
I know,
but
they're so damn good. How can you not go to Walter's and suck down two hot dogs and with mustard and ketchup? Okay. I don't suck them down anymore. Number two.
Garmanooch. I'm sorry to hear that.
Garmanooch. So, the next morning, I woke up plant-based. I started reading everything. Went to Trader Joe's, for example.
I
turned into you. Plant-based is very hard.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something. Then I slowly started to introduce some cheese. But not really, because I really didn't want to do the dairy because I felt like I was feeling better.
Worse, yeah.
But let me tell you.
Because you were doing this, why?
No, physically feeling better.
Right, but meaning why? What was feeling better physically?
Because I was thinking about, like, all the chemical. I said, it's almost like a detox.
Yeah.
So I wasn't thinking GMO, but I was thinking that. So I was thinking poison. The show was talking about, like, milk from cows. Like, you know, you got pus and cancer. And I just said, I'm not doing this. Yeah. Right? So I did kill everything.
Okay.
But I did it for about, let's just say, 6 months. And then I said, I can't just eat lettuce and, like, nacho chips or something.
Right.
I'm going to kill myself. So then I went vegan. So I would do a lot of cauliflower pizzas, no cheese. Like, I was coming up with all these great recipes. And all these restaurants were accommodating, right? Happy, happy. Zucchini noodles, whatever.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, I'm like, why don't I feel my left leg? Why am I going numb? Why am I tingling? I wasn't taking vitamins. I didn't know. I'm stupid. I wasn't taking the B12, the folic acid, and I was going numb and never had back pain. I went to the doctor. She's like, okay, vegan plus no vitamins, like you're doing like nerve damage, blah, blah, blah.
Hmm.
So it was right before Christmas. I'm sitting at my table. I'm cooking for Christmas Eve or whatever I did. I'm cooking for everybody. I'm doing sausage stuff. If everyone's hungry, sausage stuff. Mushrooms.
Somebody's saying this. I'm
starving right now, too. Meatballs, everything. And I went like this. Go. That's it. I'm done. And I went I don't know, I shoved my face 15 cannolis. I don't know what I ate that day. I went to the dark side and I haven't come back. My stepson got married.
Okay. Gotta tell the story.
All right. Listen, if you don't want to hear this, just sign off now. So, listen, I'm curvy, okay? I'm cute and curvy.
You I are very cute.
I had two C-sections. So anyone who's had a baby with a C-section, if you don't lose that fat down there, it just kind of stays around forever, okay?
Only with a C-section?
Well, whatever. I don't know. Whatever.
All right.
My whatever fat it is, right. Baby fat.
Whatever.
So I have to get a dress. I go to David's Bridal. My friend Tracy Telesco works there.
Oh, okay.
She pulls out some stuff. She goes, oh, my Beth, this is for you. I have Spanx on. Everyone knows what, well, maybe the women. Spanx. They basically form you. You don't see all the tires and the rolls. It kind of gives you a little definition,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, for anybody out there that's never put on a pair of Spanx before, let's just put it this way. You want to grease up your body so that you could slide into them. I mean, it's like a girdle, but it's not...
It's a girdle.
It's a girdle, but it's like a modern-day girdle, right?
Sure.
So it's not as completely hideously horrendous as the other girdles were back in the day.
Yeah.
But they're really tight, you know?
They could be tight. Well, so I'm
size
blank.
Okay.
Guess the size. Don't guess the weight. And then I had a size smaller. So they were in my drawer. Like, I haven't worn them probably in 100 years.
Okay.
Try on the dress. The mirrors lie. I'm like, oh, my God, I look a little skinny. Not thinking, they're lying to me. Get the dress. It comes in. A month later, Tracy's like, did you try on the dress? I'm like, no. She's like, Beth, you better try on the dress. What if it's too long? It's too this. I said, no. Finally, tried on the dress. But I said, I'm going to try it on with the Spanx. So I put on the bigger Spanx. Get them on. I look in my mirror, and I'm like, where did those tires come from? Because Pillsbury Doughboy from here to here exists. So I panicked. What do? Go through my underwear drawer, my panty drawer. What are these? They're this big. Can you guys see my hands? They're this big. How big is my head? This big. How big is my body? Okay? Hold on.
So the size of your hand.
The size of my hand. I get them over my kneecaps. I go, Angelo! Angelo's my 14-year-old. Aunt, what, Ma? I need you. I'm basically like butt naked. What? I said, your eyes are going to burn out of your head. He's like, Mom, what's the matter with you? I said, get over here.
Pull these freaking things
out. No, stick your hands down into those Spanx and pull them. He's going, ugh. I can't. I said, pull them up. And I'm trying to stuff. I mean, I'm stuffing myself, Karen. Not everyone has to stuff themselves into Spanx. I did. I'm stuffing my C-section fat from 17 years ago into these Spanx. I got them up. I got them up to my chest.
That's my girl. Get it up, Beth.
Now I put the dress on again. And I went, all right, so instead of three tires, I have two.
Okay.
Two is better than three.
That's
okay,
right.
winner, because I can't get smaller than this.
Right.
I can't get smaller on than that.
Right.
I said, I'm going to go keto Atkins for a couple of weeks. So I'm diet queen, right?
Right.
Just me, I'm eating a pound of pepperoni, soup sod, Parmigiano Reggiano. Come on, everyone, you're drooling right now. Whatever, meatballs. I'm doing good stuff, you know, fun stuff. I lose about 12 pounds, like almost a pound a day.
That's amazing.
Carmine does it with me real quick, too.
Carmine,
he can lose weight really quick.
That's a guy.
He's like, I gained two, I lost two, I gained four. What kind of diet is this? He knows, because he's lost many pounds on it.
Right.
But we were, like, stressing to lose weight.
Right.
So the day of the wedding, I take the mini Spanx.
Okay.
And I'm like, Ange, I don't need you. I get him up. Now, I still had to stuff myself. I get him up. I still had two tires. And you know what? My hair looked good. My makeup looked good.
You did.
I tried to suck it in a few times for pictures, but I am who I am. I got through the wedding. It was gorgeous. Everything went without a hitch. And the dress is rolled up in a ball in my foyer right now.
That's
and it was a happy day.
Well,
and the Spanx survived.
But I got to ask you a question. How did you pee, though?
No, because
you lost the 12 pounds, so you didn't need help getting
It was 90 degrees and humid.
Okay.
So
you expanded, no?
I might have expanded, but when I went to the bathroom, I lifted up my dress, shoved it in my teeth. I calm down.
Oh, that must be.
I get them over the tire. I do what I got to do. But I'm sweating to death.
Of
so
course.
I'm rolling them back, you know.
Anybody
it's
that puts
pretty.
On a pair of Spanx is sweating to death.
It's
That's
not,
just
it's
what
not,
they do.
It's not pretty.
Listen, I got to say one thing. Thank God you don't drink. Because if you drank and went, see, I would be in the bathroom crying. Because I'd be like, I'd be waiting for somebody to walk in like, I can't get my underwear back on. Could you help me, please? And that would be how that would happen. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's hysterical. So that was the
Kudos
story.
Kudos to the small space.
That was the story that your husband didn't want us to tell.
No,
right?
He just wrote, oh, no, you didn't, twice. Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh,
yes,
yes,
I did, Carmine.
Did.
I don't care. You know what? I am who I am. I say what I got to say, a lot like you. Some people think it's funny. I hope you guys don't think I was being rude or lewd, but it's life.
But wait a second. It's not being rude or lewd. It was an actuality. And you know what? Not for nothing. We all have our things, right? When none of us are perfect. So you got to laugh at shit like that, right? Because what else are you going to do? I mean, it's funny. And you're, like you said, you're happy. You're good with
it. I laugh at myself all the time.
But you know what? You got to laugh at yourself because if you, you know, you have to because it can't be that serious all the time.
Yeah, no.
And
I'm never
You know
I'm
what? If somebody
serious.
Was videoing that, it would have gone viral on YouTube that you would be a quadrillionaire, like, right now from that because that's funny shit. And your husband is mortifiably embarrassed by this, which is why he didn't want us to talk about
what
it, which was the worst thing he could have ever said, because I wanted to open with that, but, you know, I waited because we had to, you know, walk our way.
And my son will never be all right, but it's too bad. He'll get over it.
Listen.
Whatever.
I'm going to tell you. Kids are very resilient. I have issues. You know me. I told you. Thank God I got the air on. You know, it's not easy finding the bathing suits that my boobs, you know, are going to go in and stuff.
Yeah.
And so my back is like, you know, a 32, right? So my poor son, I'm like, Noah, come here. Yeah. You know, and
you
I'm
tie
like,
him up.
Like, you know, I'm always tying stuff up.
She has like a chain and like this big, lock. And she goes,
lock and chain. Keep those bad boys in.
Yeah.
But, you know, and look, I mean, he's all I got. So sometimes I'm like, all right, you know, like, in the, you know, and we do it. But we've all grown up like that. I don't think anybody is, you know, like, nobody grew up saying, oh, my God, I saw my mother, I tied
her.
Well,
my father would never say to me, Beth, come, you know, zip up my pants for me.
Well,
and my mother, and my they were both private like that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, no one walked around their underwear here and there, but me calling my son, I need you to shove your hands in these fangs and make this happen.
I know. It's
and
funny.
He did it because he's my love bug.
But he, you know what? But sons are the best and they will do stuff like that for us. They really will, you know? And so you got to be grateful for the little things in life. But you know what? In my opinion, this is real talk and that was real. And you know what? We all have, like I said, we all have our things. And, you know, the fact that, I mean, that's funny. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
That's fucking funny. I don't care who you are. So, and you are listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacey live on MiamiMikeRadio.com. And we are live on Facebook as well. And my guest today is Beth Acasella. And we are talking about, I don't know, freaking everything, right? And so Beth is in real estate. She's a mom. She's a freestyle freak.
Mm.
She's sober.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a foodie. So let's go back to your vegan moment. So,
okay. So
you did the vegan thing. And like I said, I do feel bad because I think I broke your balls probably more than anybody else did, didn't I?
Maybe, but I was
fun. But it was funny. It was fun because I just kept saying, how's that meat thing working out for you? And then the next time that I saw you, I was like, oh, that looks vegan. And you had like 16 meatballs in front of you or whatever. And you're like, yeah, I'm over that.
Okay, wait. So my food problem is when I was younger. So my grandmother wasn't born in Italy. She was born here. But I loved her sauce. I loved her meatballs. I loved her fried long hots. I loved her. She would do the potatoes, things like that. She would give me a bowl of gravy sauce, whatever you want to call it, and a loaf of Oddio or near, whatever bread it was.
Okay? Good crunchy Italian bread.
She lived in Neuchâtel. She would send my grandfather to J&G, anyone who knows J&G in Chester Heights. So I would dunk the bread in the sauce. So then I would end up with no sauce, but more bread. So I'd say, Nan, can you fill up my bowl with more sauce? So what happens is the ratios end up evening themselves out, and bread is gone, sauce is gone. Or if the bread was gone, there was still sauce, I need more bread. So that became a problem. That was 13. I never leave food on my plate. Yeah. I eat every damn thing. If there's one chickpea, you know, all right, oh, you know, yeah. Give it to the homeless. No, I'm eating that chickpea. I can't, it's a problem I have. I have to eat everything. And I started going through where I had to do appetizer, a meal, and a dessert. I needed that sweet to polish it off.
Okay.
And then you start piling it back on. So every pound that I lost being vegan, I gained back. Your body has a memory. I don't know if you know that.
Absolutely.
Your fat cells have memories. We could talk about nutrition, diet, all that.
Yeah.
Your body has a memory.
Yeah.
And it brought me right back to that number. It went, hi, Beth, we're back.
Right.
So I'm down now about 12. Today I ate half a pie from Pizza La Rosa. I was in the mood. I ordered it. Uber Eats. No, I'm lying. We actually picked it up. And an arugula salad. Whatever.
The arugula salad talked to the pizza and said, talk amongst yourselves
talk
here.
Amongst we're yourself. Gonna, it was delicious. A little Parmigiano Reggiano, fennel, little raisin, lemon, confit. It was
that
delicious.
That is one of my favorite salads ever.
From Pizza La Rosa or
I
just
don't know,
in general?
Just what okay. you just said.
Yeah,
I love
that's
that.
A good combo.
I love that combo.
Yeah.
I love that combo.
Me too.
Well, you know, and it is funny because, you know, food means different things to everybody, right?
Yeah.
So you just said, you know, you had a memory from your grandparents, mm-hmm. right? And your grandma and stuff. So that's like, so now here's a question, and I don't know if, you know, I'm sure you've tried this, but what if you put less food on your plate then? Like, could you?
I go for seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, could you say to yourself, could you mentally prepare yourself to say, like, I'm going to do, like, for instance, like my neighbor next door, right? Yeah. She gets those little plates for the kids. That have all little compartments.
Yeah,
right?
I love that.
And so, like, it makes it look like, I mean, there's, like, three carrots, you know, two pieces of broccoli, one piece of chicken. There's nothing on the plate. But it, you know, I guess it does something to your eyes, right? So the kids eat it or whatever. So could you, like, they have plates and stuff. Like, you got a smaller plate. You got something. Could you trick yourself a little bit?
Yeah, well, I have noticed that I feel like, I don't want to say my stomach shrunk. That's, like, stupid. But I get full faster, and it annoys me. No, it does. I would never do the stomach operation because I can't eat a half a meatball. I need to have three meatballs, maybe in a big loaf or wedge bread. I need sauce and peppers, but I also need the broccoli, garlic, and oil on the side.
Right.
So it's just, it's mental. It is what it is.
I get it. Yeah. And you know what? It's funny because the truth of the matter is that if you love food, when you eat something that's delicious, you're full. And it takes a big person to stop eating when you're full, right? So if you have a plate of, like, let's say I had, like, chicken and broccoli rabe, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, right? And it was so good that I knew I should have saved half of it
because
I was really okay at that point, right? But now I gotta have it. And then I try not to do the carbs, right? So I try not to have the bread. Then they sent the bread that has the rosemary and the everything.
The focaccia.
And now I gotta dunk a little bit into, you know, the sauce because, you know, how do you not go into the garlic and the oil and all of that, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I said to myself, enough now, stop eating. I don't know where.
I don't know. Wait, hold on, guys. Can we plug that into that side? Do you have ports on that side?
I have no idea. That's
see
a very
if you
good
can
question.
Plug. We're doing a plug.
Is it working?
Yeah, because I have no power.
Who
okay,
knew?
Good. Beautiful.
Who knew that ported? I had
reported.
No idea. I just learned something new. but no, I mean, and it's true because I know people, like, for instance, my father. My father will go, I'm done. Now, you know my father's skinny, right? So I'm like, that's why you're freaking skinny. Like, you gotta eat. You don't eat, you gotta eat whether you're hungry, you're not hungry. Like, my husband was like that. He would eat, you know, I could eat. My son, they could eat. You know, it's a mental thing. Mm. It's the same way that you have to finish your plate is the same way that I gotta finish my drink.
Yeah.
And that's bad because if I take three sips of a drink and I know I've had enough, I should stop, but I can't help myself. No. I got to finish the drink because I got to finish the drink. I don't want to waste alcohol.
Well, and then if you get, like, I love from Posto 22, I love their zoodles, or they call them zucchini noodles. So zucchini noodles, guys, I'm hungry. Zucchini noodles, a basil pesto.
Like a pesto?
A creamy basil sauce. So a creamy pesto.
Oh, I never heard of that.
But you could drink it. Oh, well, it's so easy to make.
I never heard of that.
It's like three ingredients. Grilled, like chicken, sun-dried tomato. So it's salty. You got the savory. So after I eat the zoodles, and I'm like, oh, 40 calories of zoodles. All right, heavy cream. Then I take the loaf of bread, and I'm dunking the cream. I don't care. That's what I want to do. Then I'm like chewing all of like sun-dried tomatoes in my teeth. You know, it's a good
time. Yeah, see, but that's the problem is that it's all that other stuff, right? You know? And then that's what happens. You're like, oh, well, I didn't have any macaroni. It was only
zoodles.
So what I try to do is I'll give myself like a piece of bread, and normally I take the inside out. I only like the outside. I like the crusty outside.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
And, you know, so I'll eat, but normally if I eat, like, a piece of that, I'm pretty full at that point, you know, so I try to fill myself. But it is, food is addicting.
Yeah.
And good food is terribly addicting.
Yeah.
Bad food is bad.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, like you were saying, I mean, you love, you also love to cook, right?
I do.
When you're not motivated. Right. But you're a very good cook.
I think I'm a good cook.
I think you're a very good
cook. I like to be creative. I like funky recipes, and, you know, I don't just make meatloaf. I make funky meatloaf, you know?
Well, what constitutes funky meatloaf? Because maybe somebody on here makes meatloaf, and they want to up their game.
So I wouldn't up my game by how some people, like, I don't know if it's the Italian way, how they, like, will roll, like, bacon and eggs. I know that might sound weird, but some people do that. Like, they almost stuff their meatloaf with that. I skeeve eggs. So
wait a minute. You cook the bacon and eggs? Like, you cook it? And
no,
then
no.
You roll
like,
it
you,
in?
You're wrapping the meatloaf with bacon when you cook, right? So it's raw. But the eggs are like hard boiled eggs. I think they actually.
Really?
I've
never heard of that.
Yeah, I don't. That's what skeeve me. So,
okay.
I make a meatloaf, not to go through everything, but I add like some, like cumin. There's some, I don't want to say like Indian
spices.
Yeah, and I got the recipe from online. And it's literally like you can eat, like I'm just like, all right, I'm gonna eat the whole thing. So if you're doing Atkins or keto, I don't put bread in it. Boom.
So what do you use? So if you're making an Atkins or a keto,
I just don't put bread or breadcrumbs. Like you do meatballs, I just don't put bread or breadcrumbs. You don't need them.
So what do you use to bind it?
A little bit egg. Egg is the binder. You don't need the bread.
Okay.
Yeah. The cheese, the Parmesan cheese, that's like the bread.
Yeah.
Garlic, seasoning, salt, pepper. Yeah.
So, what is there? I just went right out of my head what I was going to say. There is something that nutritional yeast they use sometimes, which is supposed to be like a vegan, like a Parmesan cheese type of thing. It has a cheesy thing to it. It's almost like a crumb type of thing.
Yeah.
You could also do, if you were going like, carb free, certainly not vegan. The pork rinds, right?
Sure, of course. But I have a mental block with that because I'm like, oh, I'm eating the back of a pig.
Oh, okay.
Can't do it.
I see. Okay. Well, you know, as long as I know where your mental blocks come from,
there's a lot
you draw the line. That's where pork rinds.
No back of pig tonight.
No back of pig.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's fair.
Listen, sometimes you just got to keep the pigs right out of your life.
Run, pig. There was a couple of dead dogs went up on the shore the other day, they said.
It was one, and it was, of course, right next to me. And that had to be removed. But I don't want to talk about that.
Okay, fine.
I'm going to throw up, and I was very upset about that.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to talk about that.
All right, fine.
I don't want to talk about that. Okay. So, yeah, let's talk about the fact that you are an animal lover, right?
Of course. Yes.
So you have you don't have 37 dogs. Nancy has 37.
Nancy has 5 dogs, 2 cats.
Okay. So you have a pit bull, right?
I have like an American Bulldog pit mix, Brooklyn, rescued from Brooklyn, ACC.
Brooklyn in the house.
Brooklyn from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn from Brooklyn.
That's a very sad story. I would love to talk about that.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I mean, are you going to kill me, though?
I don't know.
Gonna cry?
I might cry because I...
All right, go ahead. Let's prepare ourselves.
I get sad fast.
Oh,
hold on.
Okay.
Anyway.
Take a moment. No, you are getting sick. I do. I get sick. Around.
I'm not. So anyway, my dog Tyson had just died. I had a couple of pit bulls, a French bulldog, and my Pekingese. So I had four dogs at one point. And someone posted, a volunteer at the Brooklyn ACC had posted a picture of this dog, and its name was Safi, S-A-F-F-I-E, number A-O-1-9, they all have numbers,
yeah,
okay?
I know, I hate that.
And
yeah.
I said, oh my God, the post was horrible. It was a blue box with the dog, with the, you know, it tied back, so it stood in the blue box. And I said, I just kept scrolling. Like, not to be evil, I always just would look at the ACC's post.
Right.
Then this volunteer, Raquel is her name, she took the time to take a beautiful picture of the dog, and he was, like, stately looking. I said, oh, my God, he looks just like Tyson. I said, I started texting and private messaging, and how do I get this dog? And the ACC, they don't respond. And not to bash them, it's just a horrible thing, okay? So, whatever. So, they're in the city, Brooklyn, whatever. And I said to my husband, we're going down to get this dog. At the time, I had, like, a Mercedes SUV. We took our little Pekingese so they can meet. Beth, get here by 12 or they're putting, they're killing the dog.
Oh, my God.
Fly down there. No one's answering the phone. I don't know if they've killed this dog already. I don't know what my attraction was, but I had to have this dog. sorry.
Oh.
So I went and we adopted the dog. It took, like, 3 hours to adopt the dog. I go to the side and I'm like, oh, they only have, like, 20 dogs to adopt? Like, the National Humane Society only has, like, 20 dogs. He had a couple cute little terriers and, like, this and a that. And I said, Salady, wow. She said, no, honey. There's 350 dogs stacked in the back, mostly pit bulls. Okay? You want to throw up? Then, it smells like cat pee. Then, I'm watching people come in with dogs. I'm like, oh, they must have just adopted. She goes, no, honey, they're dropping their dogs off. And I see women going to their kids, I'll make sure you get my collar. Are you kidding me? You want your collar? You're dumping your piss-filled dog off at the shelter? So that's when you want to go into strangle mode, people, if you've ever adopted or if you know what I'm talking about. Made me sick. And the time, I'm sorry, and the time I was there just made me so sad for those dogs, so... Whatever.
Yeah,
you have dogs that are like with tumors and, you know, running through apartment buildings and they're just dropping them off. So I'm glad we rescued my dogs.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, and that's like a horrible.
Horrible.
And to, you know, I never understood, you know, you can't understand that if you're not an animal person. Well,
yeah.
I think any human can, but. Sadly, pit bulls are certainly the ones that are always, on the end because people think the worst of them when they're actually the best dogs you'll ever have.
Exactly.
They're very loyal. They're very loving. They're very kind. It's just how you raise them. If you raise your child to be an animal, then they're going to be an animal, you know, more so than, you know, the dog will. And
but what's sad, Karen, too, is let's just say your dog got loose in Brooklyn. You put up a sign. If your dog is in that back room that they don't allow you to go into, stacked because it's a black pit bull, the dog is going to be dead in 48 hours. They're not putting an SOS for your dog because it looks like 59 other black pit bulls. That's the killer. That's what kills me.
Yeah.
So,
well, I guess that's why, too, a lot of times they microchip now so that at least if a dog does go into there, they will they're microchipped and they know who they belong to. I mean, my dog, you met her, she's a little nothing, and she was in a kill shelter for months of her life before we got her. I mean, I had no idea this woman, you know, that rescued her, saved her life, and she did the same thing. This rescue woman just goes and she's like, she said, I was only supposed to get two dogs, but there were 10 there, and they were going to get put down. I took all 10 of them.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, and it is. It's a horrible thing. And, you know, animals are amazing. And I forgot what it was like because having this little dog has brought so much joy to our world. I mean, I think you see how my son is with her. He's like, forget about it. And it is. I mean, one thing that I think you can get from this conversation is, you know what? Adopt. There are so many rescues out there that need, you know, help foster, whatever you can do. Even if maybe you're not the right person to keep a dog forever or whatever, if you want, you know, to have that for a little bit, you know, do something that can help or support. If you see those posts on Facebook and they need a home, share the post. Maybe get them, help them to get a home. Because not only are you saving the dog's life, but honestly, you're saving the person's life. Because animals give us so much more than we give them. Yeah. You know, if you really think about it. I mean, they really do.
My dogs sleep with me.
Unconditional love. Let me tell you, if the world... if people loved each other the way your pet loves you, this world
be
would
a good
be a
place.
Different
oh, yeah.
place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the whole thing is like, you know, I always say be humble and kind. You know, I try to spread that. All of us want to hate on everybody. Why don't you love on everybody? You know, that dog, even that dog is getting beaten or whatever. Mm. And you know what? They still are loyal to you. They're still there for you with these animals that don't deserve that loyalty, whatever. But that's called unconditional love.
Right.
And unconditional love is very important. And if you have never been in a relationship before and you don't know how to love, get a pet because that'll teach you how to love. Because when that little thing looks at you and licks your face and snuggles up to you, if you can't mush up to that, then you should be euthanized.
You're out. Yeah.
You should be euthanized. Never mind the dog. Keep
Goodbye.
The dog. You go. You
Goodbye.
Know? And it's terrible.
Terrible.
But yeah, so adopt. So you guys are listening to Real Talk with Karen Stacey live on MiamiMikeRadio.com. And my guest is Beth Acasella. And we have really, I said we were going to talk about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And we really have gone a lot of the gamut.
Yeah.
You know, she is a real estate agent. We talked about real estate. We talked about tax grievances. We talked about developments going on in New Rochelle because Beth thinks she's the mayor of New Rochelle, New York. For any of you that don't know, that's in Westchester County.
I am.
And she's also a mother of three. Mm-hmm. And we discussed her 14-year-old son shoving everything into our Spanx for her, which her husband is mortified over. So other things, too, that you, I mean, you're also like a big bingo woman.
Yeah,
what's
psycho.
What's the deal with bingo?
So, bingo's fun, right?
I
like
I
to gamble. Okay, fine, whatever.
Whatever.
So I like gambling, right? But I can't, I don't always want to go and drop $1,000 at Foxwoods or Empire, things like that. So,
right.
For years, I was the PTA or Parent Guild president at school, at Holy Name.
Okay.
And we said, let's just start doing some bingo as for fundraising, right? Besides other things. So doing bingo as a fundraiser, oh, wow, we made $2,000, we made $3,000, we made $5,000, we made $8,000. Okay, let's start doing this like every 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
So I offered, along with other mothers, our time in fundraising.
Okay.
Then the American Legion, hey, Beth.
You know?
Can you do bingo for us? Or if the Boys Club, or different, I can't even think, different people. I do it at the beach club on Sundays. Literally, I spend like 2 hours.
Yep.
I do like a little 50-50. Well, it's not really 50-50. It's 100% gets paid out. But anyway, are we allowed to talk gambling? So, don't come get me.
Oh, yeah.
So for bingo, I love bingo, but I don't get to play because I'm running it, right?
Right.
Psycho running all over the place. So I like to go to Foxwoods to play bingo. Huge bingo hall, 4,000 seater, morning and afternoon. So I just go into zone
bingo.
And play bingo. I rarely win,
B4.
But I don't care.
B4.
Oh, 69. And everyone goes, ah!
I'm 69.
Before and after. That's what everyone does. So, yeah, I love bingo. That's it.
And the other thing you love is vacations.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to the Bahamas soon.
You go away, what, like 80 times a year?
Almost. So this is the thing, people. Sometimes you put off your mortgage payment to go on vacation.
Says the real estate agent.
Says the real estate agent. I don't care. You know what? We felt, like me and my husband fell in love with Cayman Islands, Grand Cayman. Been to many islands, not so many different states in the United States, never to Europe, okay? That's in the plans.
Okay.
Cruises, yada, yada. But you know what? You see some people who start vacationing when their kids are out of the house or when they have enough money. You're never going to have enough money. Listen, there's some people really well off. They could do whatever the hell they want. They have yachts. you're never going to have enough money. So you might have 10 grand in the bank today. You think that's a lot. So what? Put on the damn credit card. Enough, you know, not to say, like, oh, it's so easy. Sometimes you have to,
these
as
are
they
not
say,
the viewpoints of Miami Mike Radio.
Of me. As they say, shkiat, you might have to shkiat. And maybe you don't go out to dinner every night. Or maybe you do. But I'm crazy. I'll just be like, Carmen, we're going to Montauk for 2 days. But going to Montauk for 2 days is $1,000, okay? Because it doesn't matter. That's, you know, food, you know, sleeping right. there is $400 a night.
Right.
We're going to the Bahamas. I own timeshares. I could tell you all about timeshares. I own timeshares. I'm like, log in, boom. So we're using Aunt Nancy's timeshare. We're going to Harborside, part of Atlantis. It's a condo. It's amazing. Two-bedroom suite. We're living the good life. We'll eat at Carmine's. We'll eat at Virgil's. We'll be little gavones for the week. I don't care. I don't want to get sick or when I'm set. I don't know if I'm going to. I don't think I'm going to have more money when I'm 65. I don't think I am. I don't. We're not like 401k rich and this rich. We're just living day by day. There's some months I call my mother and I say, Ma, I need to borrow. I mean, it's life. This is what happens. So no matter how good I do or you do, there's times where you're in up Schitt's Creek and it is what it is. And I'm not too, what's the word? Is it not too proud? Yeah. I'm not too proud to beg. I don't ever lie. I tell it like it is. So if I'm desperate, but I still want to go away, Amex, cha-ching, I don't care. Because I want to enjoy it. And like I said, me and Carmen fell in love with Cayman Islands. We started going like every year. And then we go with the kids here. And then we go to Florida. The kids are over Florida. What kids are over Florida? I go to Florida like twice a year. They're like, we're over it. Oh, okay. So we're going to go by ourselves now. The joy of teenagers. Stay home. Bye-bye.
You know what, though? I do have to say, though, that is good advice because, you know, the truth of the matter is time is the one thing in life you'll never get back, right?
Right.
So you can always get back money, you know, you can, or you know, get more. You can never get more time. So, you know, you said, you know, when are you ever going to have the money? When are you ever ready? And, you know, it was the same thing my father said to me when I was like, well, you know, it's not the right time to have a baby. We're not ready. We don't have this. And my father said, you're never going to be ready. If you want it, you do it. You're never going to be ready. Right. When are you ever ready to just give up your life? Because that's what you do when you have a kid, right? So it's very good advice. And I never lived by that, to be honest with you, because I was always very work-oriented. And, you know, I worked for my parents at that point. So, you know, I was always there. You had to be responsible, good ethics and work ethics, blah, 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 blah. So I remember many years ago when we had bought our house and I would say to my husband, I want to go out to dinner. And he would say, you want to go out to dinner or you want the lamp for the living room? So now, obviously, what are you going to say? Like, you're going to sit on, like, a spoiled brat, you know? So I'm like, well, I guess I want the lamp, you know? And so, you know, you would eat home because you didn't have need to go out to dinner, right? So what I learned now that he's no longer here is that I have a lot of lamps.
Mm.
And I never got that dinner.
Mm.
So you never get that time back. So, you know, we were talking about going on vacation. Mm. You know how hard he worked.
Mm.
My kid was little at the time. We went away once during that time, and it was like a nightmare because he was teething, and I took the dog. There was fleas in the place. I mean, it was just a fucking nightmare from start to finish. But, you know, and so just when we met all of you and we were talking about, oh, wow, like it would be so cool. Noah's old enough now. We could leave for a couple of days. We'll go do like a couples thing in the Bahamas or we'll do something. We were just going to do that. And just like my husband died on a Saturday, and on Monday, he started his vacation.
Right.
Okay, well, he was supposed to start his vacation, right? So I think that it's good advice. I mean, obviously, we're not telling you to go into debt. We're not telling you not to pay your bills. But what you're saying, I mean, that's just, you know, everybody does what works for them. But, you know, I think it's good advice because you do go away a lot. And I see you always posting stuff and, you know,
pictures. And my toes. And my feet.
And your feet.
I always post my feet.
You always post your feet. And you know what? And I think that's, I emulate that. Like, I look at that and I say, I wish, you know, like, I hope to one day be able to, you know, to do that. Because time is something you never get back. No. And so those experiences, like now your children are done with Florida. My son begs me to go to Florida because we went like once.
Yeah.
Or twice.
No,
actually,
they're over it.
And
my
so
kids are
your
rude.
Kids are over
it. They're so over it. Oh, let's go to Miami. We go to Miami and it's red tide.
What does that mean?
Okay. Hold on. So there was, I call it red tide. I don't know what the real, it was about 50 feet of red seaweed. Hold on. Like feet thick. So we're like, oh, we're going to Miami. And then we get to the beach and I'm like, are you kidding me? I could have stayed in my bathtub. Ugh. But I'm the daredevil. So I start walking through the sands. And then 30 feet of the sand is this red tide, red seaweed. And I'm going through this. Now it's up to my knees. Now I'm like, oh my God, I can't walk. I'm going to die in Red Sea.
So that's really parting the Red Sea.
It was parting the Red Sea. I go out. I'm like, bleh, bleh. I'm like skeeved. And I'm like, I can't even enjoy Miami. So we stayed at the pool the whole time. We went, me, Nancy. We took the kids. So it wasn't necessarily fun for them. I like to go places where I know I'm getting like good food or we're going to a good restaurant. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're going to the Bahamas. We've already pre-made all of our dinner reservations. Like, it's just something to look forward to, right?
Yeah.
We're going to go to the beach. We're going to go to the pool.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have fun and eat. So, que sera.
Nothing better than the pool, food.
That's it.
And beach, except I would add tequila to that.
Okay, fine.
I know, but none of you drink, so that's completely different. And that's probably why you can go away, because if you guys drank, forget it.
Forget it.
You'd never make it anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the alcohol bill is what'll kill you every time.
Really no alcohol bill.
Yeah.
No alcohol bill.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it. I'm gonna fix you now. I'm gonna make you have a drink one of these days. Nah, it's all good. All right, so I think did we touch upon everything that we wanted to talk about?
I think so. How many more? We have five more minutes.
Yeah, well, we're almost done. Yeah, I mean, I got to, you know, talk to everybody about the shows that come
up
on here and everything. But one thing that I wanted to add, because I've seen a lot of your posts, you're very passionate about everything, which I respect.
Yeah.
You put a lot of your posts are political. Or some of them are political. Mm. And obviously we won't talk about that on the air. Because everybody's political views are everybody's political views. And we don't want to divide. And I think that's the whole thing at this point is, you know, I keep saying it. United we stand, divided we fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everybody's opinions, and I think you have said the same thing. Everybody has become so pro-separate that, you know, we're losing everything because of it.
People are losing themselves because they're going off the deep end. There's no reason to go off the deep end. Live your life, go to work, pay your bills, love your kids, kiss your dog. Nothing's changed.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if I'm the president, you're do your thing.
Right.
Whatever. I've cut back a lot on the political stuff because I have. And sometimes it's not worth it. Sometimes I throw a thing here and there. But it is what it is. I just want to live my life, be happy. But I also am an American, and I cherish the flag, and I cherish the United States. So if I feel that people can't agree with that, I don't know how much I like that. So that's my opinion.
Right. And everybody's entitled to their opinion. So I think the point to everything is that we can all be passionate, and everybody is entitled to feel how they want to feel. But somebody shouldn't not like you or, you know, like,
or anybody
just because they have, like, you know, my opinion is like, you know, we were just talking about food. You want to eat, you know, like some of us, we like to eat meat. Some people are vegans or vegetarians and they get offended when people talk about meat.
Right.
Now, I am not, I'm not offended that all you eat is plants.
Right.
Don't be offended that I eat meat. I understand that you don't agree with it, and I respect that. And I will try my best. If I'm out with you and we're going out to dinner or something like that, I will, you know, maybe if I am in the mood for a steak, which I'm going to tell myself I'm not going to eat that, but I would say to somebody, you know what? I don't want to, if you're going to get, like, grossed out if I order, get grossed out if I order a steak, and the person says yes,
then I'm not going to order a steak.
I would totally not order it.
Of course.
I have no issue with that. Right. If you say you're not a drinker, I mean, I'm trying to, like, break you into being an alcoholic now, but, you know, you're not a drinker. I'm not going to keep asking you
no. And you never do, though. You never do.
No, I respect. That's what I mean. My point is that we all have to just respect
each other's
feelings, and it doesn't mean you're right, and it doesn't mean I'm wrong. For me, it's right for me because I want to eat the meat.
Yeah.
For you, it's wrong because it doesn't work for you and you don't believe in that.
Yeah.
So, great. I love you and respect you because you like that. And you know what? Let's go someplace where we can both be happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's, I think if people could just find, we all have a common ground somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that a lot of your posts are kind of saying that as well. Like, you made a post about a homeless person, and you said, come on, people, we could do better than this.
That kills me every day, because I'm downtown. I have a homeless person come in every day, and he asks me for money. I give him water every day. Almost every day I give him money. I think he's going to get food. He says he's going to get food. I'm not checking him.
Right, of course.
I don't think he's using it on drugs and this, that, and the other thing. The other day I saw him smoking a cigarette. I said, okay, maybe we bought a Lucy. If everyone knows what a Lucy is, it's a loose cigarette. You could get one for $1, right? Instead of buying a pack or 70 cents. So I just, we become friends. He gives me paintings. He paints for me. No, seriously, I have his artwork.
That's amazing.
Robert, that's his name. So I talked to him about his family, his long lost family. But that's just me. But I don't want to see someone sitting in a corner on the ground in front of a bank or Payless and people going, oh my God, is that person alive or dead? It's so sad. It's just...
It's very difficult, and unfortunately in life, until somebody walks down that road, or a road, shall we say, they don't understand the other side, because a lot of us pass judgment, right?
Mm.
So we look at that and go, well, get a job.
No, I don't.
And no, but well, I'm saying the norm, right?
Yeah.
You see somebody that's homeless on the, well, get a job. So maybe they had a job and they got laid off after they were working someplace for 30 years. And you know what? They didn't get severance, they didn't get anything. And they, you know, how many of us are all a mortgage payment away from losing our homes?
Sure.
Okay? So the truth of the matter is that the reality is that at any point, we could all be on the street.
Mm.
Taxes keep going up. Everything, you're going on vacation. I mean, you know, it could happen. So, you know, instead of passing judgment all the time, and don't get me wrong, there are people that have just taken their lives and thrown them to shit. But no one ever wants their life to get thrown to shit, right? Everybody has an aspiration to live a good life.
Right.
And some of us are more successful than others.
Sure.
So, you know, it is true. If you can make a difference, try to make a difference. You know, we talked about the pets, and we talked about adopting and making a difference, saving a life. You know, if you see someone and they're struggling, sometimes a kind word, you know, holding the door for somebody, whatever it is, it could make the, it could be the difference between life and death.
You know
sometimes.
What I like to do, what I've done, I haven't done in a while, like if you're at McDonald's, the drive-thru, pay for the person behind you. It's so cool. And then they're like trying to chase you down, right? Or a toll. I mean, everything is toll, you know, whatever.
I gotta say something.
Pay for the person behind you.
The toll.
And then it's like, and the lady all of a sudden goes, oh my God, you're like the fifth person. Everyone keeps doing it. Like,
that's
cool. And you hope no one really breaks the chain, like, you
that's
know, whatever.
Awesome.
But something
awesome.
So little, a $10 meal, or this or that.
Pay it forward.
Sure.
Right, yeah, that is pretty amazing. The toll thing, I always love that. When I would be following somebody, that's how you knew if they were like a gentleman or whatever. They'd pay the toll while you were following.
It never happens. I mean, here and there, but it's cool.
It's
right?
A pretty cool thing.
So next time you go and order a large fry, pay for somebody's fries.
That's a pretty cool thing. Thank you. That's something I always like to try to, like, add something, you know, to the world. So I think, you know, that was good. Let's spread that. Pay it forward, right?
Yeah.
That's what we want to do. Pay it forward. But I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. We talked about you coming, and maybe we'll do it again. If people have questions, Before we go, let people know how they can find you if they want to do a tax grievance or maybe they're looking for a home.
Sure.
How do they find you?
If you're looking to buy, sell, rent, if you know someone, referrals are always appreciated.
Tell them you met her here on Real Talk with Karen Stacey.
Save a percent. Can I give my cell phone or is that weird?
Do whatever you want.
Okay, so for all you people out there... You can private message me, too, Beth Acasella. I also have a real estate page. Or my number is 914-494-7047. My email is BethAcasella@AOL.com. I'm old school. Sorry, can't get rid of that AOL. And I work for Coldwell Banker. My Nova Shell office actually just moved. We merged with White Plains, but I am downtown because of my development. So I'm here, there, and everywhere. So I service all of Lower Westchester. I'm the number two agent in all of Nova Shell of all sold homes. So Nova Shell is primarily my bread and butter. But Mount Vernon, Yonkers, everywhere. Even Dutchess County, Putnam, I've sold in. Bronx, I have quite a few deals in the Bronx right now. So I'm around if you ever need me.
And yeah, so also after we finish this, you'll put your info on the Facebook stuff too. So if anybody needs you, they can find you. So, and again, tax grievances and stuff as well. You know, if she doesn't have too many people, she'll help you out with that. But definitely tell her that you saw her on Real Talk so she knows that you're family and she'll take even better care of
and
you.
And if you need restaurant recommendations.
Oh, and restaurant recommendations or recipes. She was a little stingy with the recipes.
Yeah, I was. Sorry.
Maybe we'll do a cooking show one day. We'll get a slow we'll do a slow cooker cooking show.
We can do like five different things at a time. We'll just like boop. We'll do a slow cooker, we'll do like a meatball, a meatloaf.
Oh my God.
We could do the zoodles. We could go crazy.
Yes, let's do it. We're going to do a cooking show. We'll do a cooking show. All right. I'm starving now. Thank you so much. All right. I just want to remind you guys on Mondays we have DJ Luke at 1 p.m. And then we also have Mondays Paulie, a.k.a. the Portuguese Prince at 6 p.m. Rob Mush. Mind Candy Mondays, the first Monday of every month. Tuesdays, we have Steve, DJ Simply Nice at 1. And then, of course, Real Talk with Karen Stacey at 8 p.m. Wednesdays, we have The Loyal Listener with Hamilton, Zara, and Maymay. Thursdays, we have The Traffic Jam with Michael Anthony at 4 p.m. And then we have Frankie Mags at 8 p.m. Fridays at 8 is DJ Simply Nice. And then Friday Night Sessions with Tony Sinapi at 10 p.m. Saturdays, The Gazi Show at 8 p.m. And then, of course, the Saturday Night Dance Party with Anthony Mangini at 10 p.m. And then Sundays, we have Anthony Grimaldi on Sundays as well. So we always have something fun for you to listen to. Next week, I have Terry Murata. She's a medium. So she's going to actually do a reading before the show, so I think my husband will be talking to me.
You're killing me.
And then we're going to learn about, you know, her and everything else. Mm. So fun
Love
stuff
that.
Next week. Yes,
Love
absolutely.
That.
So I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. I know some of you wrote. We really didn't look at any of your comments, so please don't take it personally. We were just yapping. But we will, of course, look at the comments after. Sharing is caring. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends. Talk amongst yourselves. And thank you again, Beth, for coming
on
the show. We love you.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao. Signing off on...